Hey Bryce, it's Chatia from Survivor. Remember your season, the best season ever, season 28, Cagayan? I was just calling to let you know that I hear your podcast. I love it. And it's especially helping me during the quarantine. I sneak away from my kids and I hide in the bathroom and listen to your podcast. So keep it going. Thank you so much. I love it. And it really brightens my day, you know, when I'm hearing it's a Purple Pants podcast. 'Cause you know we go together. Bye, boo.
It's the Purple Pants. It's the Purple Pants. It's the Purple Pants podcast. You better get your headphones and listen up quick. Ooh. It's the Purple Pants podcast. You better listen in public. Might make your stomach hurt. Ooh. It's the Purple Pants podcast. You're trying to unwind. You better get that box wine. It's the Purple Pants podcast. You're trying to get your snack. You better hurry right back, though. It's the Purple Pants. It's the Purple Pants.
Greetings, everyone, and welcome to this week's episode of the Purple Pants Podcast. I am your host, Bryce Isaiah, and I hope that everyone is well, doing well, staying safe, you know, adjusting to this new normal that we have to adjust to. So we can look at our Tito's half empty, or we can look at it as half full. So I really hope that this podcast finds everyone in really well spirits. I'm happy to be here with y'all this week. I have a really great episode for y'all, but you know, before we go on, really, how's everybody doing? I know it's a lot getting used to being inside, you know, trying to follow these restrictions, but I'm on social media and I still see people not really following these rules, being outside, gathering in groups. Like, we really have to do our diligence of staying social distance. If we are trying to fight this COVID-19, we have to all do our parts. Like, you know, I want to go visit my mom. I want to go see her, but you know, I want my mom to stay safe. Even though the other day I called Barb and I'm like, what you doing? She like, nothing. I'm like, girl, you're in the car. She's like, oh, I have to go to Rite Aid to get, girl, you don't need to go to Rite Aid for nobody. Keep your little butt in the house. Now, she was on the way to getting medication, so I have to, you know, I let her get a pass for that. But I'm like, mom, they have delivery services. You can get the medication that you need delivered to the house. But you know, Barb and John and Sunshine are going crazy, but you know, we all are, so we all try to make the best of it. But seriously, like, we really have to do our part. But I'm really excited for this week's episode. We got a lot to get through. This is really, really, really gonna be a good episode. But let me wet the whistle. I wet the whistle to a little Tito's and a little strawberry lemonade. So chilling. So we got the church announcements this week. We have Survivor news with our baby boy, Jack Atkins. I started watching the show called Unorthodox on Netflix. So we have Akiva joining me this episode. So I'm so honored to have RHAP royalty joining the Purple Pants podcast. We've got the Purple Pants premonitions with our good homie, Gangsta Gurry. We have the Purple Pants picks. We have advice with Bryce. We've got Barb's message. And we got the freak of the week. Okay, we ain't playing no games out here. We adjusting to the new normal. And we are going to get through this together. So first on the church announcements, I actually have the new normal. So this weekend, I try to stay in my house. I really do. Like, I really don't go out at all. I do go out to, like, you know, get groceries and get things around my house. So this weekend, I needed to get some things and I went to the store. And as I was, like, getting in my car, I had seen some neighbors out and I was like, oh my God, like, everyone was wearing masks. And I'm like, wow. Like, it really kind of took me back. Like, wow, this is like where we are at this point. You know, recently this week, the CDC has recommended for all citizens to wear masks, even non-surgical masks, like any type of face covering. They're saying that it can, like, you know, just help a little bit. And so, you know, I'm urging all of my listeners, you know, if you got a scarf, wrap it around your face. If you got a Survivor buff, put it on. That is really important. But it was really kind of like, I have to admit, like, before I even, like, pulled off in my car, I was just, like, looking around. And I was just like, wow, like, this is really where we are. It's like, it can be scary. And I know people with anxiety and a lot of people that are nervous in these uncertain times. But, you know, you really have to, you can let those type of feelings get you down, or you can, you know, adjust to the new normal, because we know one thing's for certain, that change always happens. And obviously this might not be the change that we want, but we have to adjust. And so, baby, I went and got my purple Kagyan buff. I went back in the house, got my Kagyan buff, and I was like, you know what? And it felt so weird. Like, I put my Kagyan buff on, and I'm like walking into the store, and I'm like, I feel like I, first of all, you know me, I'm an African American male, okay, in the United States. Me walking into a store with a mask on my face, child, who would have thought? But I really had to adjust, and it felt uncomfortable for me wearing this mask. Like, what am I doing? But I really do want to stay safe, because, you know, over the weekend, I was like on social media, and I had saw one of the Purple Pants podcast listeners, his name's Josh, that he had posted that he had lost his grandmother to pneumonia suspected of COVID-19. And so I want to send my condolences to your family, Josh. But, you know, it's really real out here. And, like, you know, we just need to make sure that we stay safe. And if one person can do our part, it really kind of, it can affect a whole world of change. And so I know this new normal is like kind of hard to get used to, but we really have to do our part to make a difference. But at the same time, let me just tell y'all, this quarantine 15, baby, is real, okay? Because I haven't even really put clothes on. I have, like, this sweatsuit that my mom gave me for Christmas from, like, 3 years ago from American Eagle. And, baby, that's all I've been living in. But, baby, I know baby boy is packing on the pounds, which is okay. I'm not going to beat myself up about it. But I do know that it's something that I need to work on and that I need to really kind of, like, you know, we might be stuck quarantining, but I don't need to be eating these Cheetos 1 o'clock in the morning, 2 o'clock in the morning. I'd be on the phone with Rodney and we'd be talking and I'd just be snacking away. But I really need to make a conscious effort to, like, shed this quarantine 15 and then, you know, some other. But another thing that I wanted to talk about was just something that kind of popped into my mind. So I haven't, mind you, I normally get a haircut every 2 weeks. I go to my barber and, you know, it really had, like, can I talk? This week would have been the week that I would have went to get my haircut. And I really kind of thought with, you know, a lot of cities in Philadelphia, they've actually, like, banned, like, barbershops and beauty salons and all of that stuff. And it really kind of made me think, like, wow, like, you know, that is my barber's, like, main source of income. And if they are, like, shutting that down, like, wow, it has to be such a hard time. So I had reached out to my barber and I was like, do you have Cash App? And my barber was like, yeah, what's up? I'm like, can I get your Cash App? I'm just curious. So I got my barber's Cash App and I actually sent money, like, I was getting a haircut. And my barber texted me, like, are you, like, I'm not cutting hair right now. And I'm like, I know, but, you know, while this time that we are adjusting to this new normal, I want to still pay you like I am getting a haircut every 2 weeks. I know it's not a lot, but it is, you know, within my budget that I can do, because I want to uplift somebody, you know, do unto others like you would like to be done. And, you know, my barber was, like, so grateful, like, wow, I, like, you know, you don't have to do that, but I am, like, so appreciative of that. And I'm like, you know what, yes, we have to do our part. And although I'm not getting a haircut and I'm in the house looking crazy, but, you know, think about, I'm blessed that I actually have job security, of the sense that during this, like, pandemic, you know, my full-time job, we're thriving. Like, I have to work every day. I'm busy, you know, from 8:30 to 5 p.m. every day. And I'm blessed in that sense. And so I want to be a blessing to someone else. And also, like, you know, there are a lot of local businesses, like, with us being inside, that more than likely will not survive this. So I am urging my Purple Pants posse that, you know, if you go get takeout food, you know, try to support your local businesses. There's a local place around the corner from me. It's a pizza place and they've got really, really good pizza. So, you know, on Friday night, I wanted to support my local businesses. So I had, like, you know, ordered some food for takeout. And I really like the setup that they have. Like, you have to pay over the phone before you can pick the food up. And then you have to call them when they're outside and they have, like, a little table. You call them, you tell them your order number, and they come out and they put the food on the table and then they go inside and shut the door and then you can grab your food. And then, like, if there's people waiting, you obviously, like, wait 6 feet apart from each other outside. And so, like, you know, adjusting to the new normal, but also just trying to, like, you know, we are a community out here, so we've got to support each other. And so although it is, like, little things like that, but that could really be helping that company. So I just wanted to, like, you know, try to, like, you know, just encourage the Purple Pants posse to support your local businesses. And then the last thing on the church announcements I wanted to say is, like, I know that we are, a lot of us are at home and we've got these ambitious goals to, like, ooh, I'm gonna do this, I'm gonna do that, I'm gonna work on this. But I also want to just encourage the Purple Pants posse, don't be too hard on yourself. You know, with, I know a lot of us work, a lot of us got children, a lot of us have a lot of other responsibilities, and just because we're at home doesn't mean we just have this free time to just, like, willy-nilly around. And so I know that, like, there was, like, somebody wrote an article how, like, they both were at home and, like, you know, they were like, oh, since we're at home, they were like a couple and they both work full-time jobs, but they're like, oh, you know, we've been wanting to, like, redo our kitchen and we bought, like, the painting supplies, and they're like, you know, 3 weeks in, we've yet to touch the painting supplies. And they were like, they were feeling bad about it, but they realized, like, you know, we still have to work, we still have to get our lives together. So I just want to say, like, of course it's great to plan for the future and of course it's great to have goals, but we can't be too hard on ourselves because we still have everyday lives to live. We still got emotions. We still got kids. We still have things. So don't be too hard on yourself, Purple Pants Posse. Don't beat yourself up a little bit. Like, you know, we have to ease into this new normal. But, you know, as long as we are making strides and making goals towards that new normal, I feel like that we will be great. So those are just some things I wanted to touch on this week's church announcements. Now let's get into the meat and potatoes. What? The meat and potatoes. What? The meat and potatoes. What? Y'all know I be stage trying to make a song out of something. Oh well, don't judge me. The meat and potatoes. What? But all right, let's get into this menu, Survivor News. And we are back this week with our baby boy, Jack Atkins from Chicago University, a.k.a. taking classes at home in Austin, Texas. What's poppin', baby? Oh, Houston.
What's poppin'? H-Town, stand up, baby. Come on. what's going on, Bryce?
What's going on? I'm chilling. How about yourself? How you feeling?
Same here. I'm feeling great. I'm feeling good, honestly. High energy right now. My throat is a little hoarse, but I feel good. I don't think I'm sick. I do start some classes online tomorrow, so a little nervous about that, but, you know, we got to push through. Some interesting classes coming up. We'll learn a thing or two, you know what I'm saying? So,
okay, yes. Come on, baby boy. You better earn them A's and B's.
Oh, yeah. A's only, Bryce.
I'm playing. Yes. Well, let's get into this despicable episode because I have a lot to say and a lot of things that I want to get off my chest. So go ahead. Let's get rolling.
Hey, can I just say real quick, I watched Tiger King. That shit was fire. I can't wait to listen to your recap. But back to Survivor. Survivor, Tiger King, very similar, I know. Bryce, we're coming into this episode. We got the merge. We got Tyson back. What are your thoughts? What are you feeling?
I was very happy to see Tyson back. I thought Tyson was a well-deserved winner of winning that challenge. I really was rooting for Natalie, but I was excited to see that Tyson won. I was, like, on Twitter a lot this week, and I was reading a lot of the fans were saying that Boston Rob had an unfair advantage because Amber bequeathed her token to Boston Rob, yep. And everyone was saying, like, how unfair that was, and if she didn't bequeath her tokens to him, he would have not have been able to have that advantage, and so that it was more room for probably someone like Yule or Natalie to really be in the competition. But I don't really look at things like that. I mean,
his relationship with Amber throughout the game was probably a disadvantage in the first place because, you know, you're married, and that's putting a target on your back. If your shoddy wants to give you a little fire token, bequeath you a token for the challenge, I mean, maybe that's a little bit of an advantage, but compared to the whole disadvantage they had just by being a couple, I mean, it kind of evens out, you know?
True. But, I mean, I was very happy to see Tyson get back in. I thought he was well-deserving, although I was kind of Team Natalie, rooting for Natalie to get back in. But I was very happy to see Tyson.
Yeah, no, Tyson was my number one pick to get back in, so I'm thrilled. And I will say, Bryce, I gotta call this out a little bit, just with the structure of Edge of Extinction. I've seen people talking about this. It's basically skewed for the people that were there the longest, aka got voted out the earliest. So people like Parvati and Yule, who got there later and didn't have as much time to earn those fire tokens, didn't even get to do that log collecting challenge for a guaranteed fire token. Well, now they get no advantages in this challenge, and they're screwed because they got there late and they lasted longer in the game.
True. Well, I mean, that's the nature of the beast of Survivor. However, although with Yule with no advantages, I thought he held his own in this challenge a lot.
Agree, but I know that's just the nature of the game. You gotta deal with what you're given. But I do think, you know, if Yule was voted out a few days earlier, which in a general Survivor sense would be bad, he'd probably have a chance to get a token and then maybe could have won that challenge. So it's kind of just a double-edged sword.
True, but Amber could have bequeathed her tokens to Yule.
I mean, I don't know. I don't know what's going on behind the scenes there, Bryce. Okay, but I mean, moving on. I mean, just in the first place, legendary season, we're finally at the merge. That's a huge milestone. And obviously, congrats to all the players, including our boy, Wendeezy, for making it there. Early on, Bryce, we see the conditions get pretty rough. You know, there's rain, there's storms. But we see Adam saying everyone's being kind of a wuss, considering he went through a cyclone in the season. Then flash forward to the challenge. Adam's on the pole screaming that he's scared. Shivering so hard. And we actually see that Sophie got like some type of sweater for the challenge because she looked like she was in a rough condition. What did you think about these conditions, Bryce? Did you go through any weather like this back on your season? And how do you think this kind of affects the gameplay that's going on?
It definitely affects the gameplay a lot. You know, I was on Cagayan, and during Cagayan, we went through a typhoon. And so it literally rained 3 days straight with no sun and just constant rain. And so that is something that is super serious. Like, that was, like, probably the worst experience of my life. Like, going to sleep completely fine, and then in the middle of the night it starts to rain, and then, like, you know, you're hoping and praying that, like, oh, I cannot wait until the morning, let the sun come up and I get through this, and then lo and behold, the sun never comes up, it rains all day, and then you have to go sleep soaking wet. So that definitely can not only weigh on your physical, it definitely can weigh on your mental. I know at one point in time I was thinking, like, I don't know if I'm really supposed to be out here, because it's just like when your hands prune up, when you just think about your underwear, soggy underwear, it was literally the worst.
No, I agree. Like you said, it affects your mental, it affects your physical. And then I think in a greater sense, it affects the strategic game, because everyone's cooped up in the shelter, not feeling up to anything, not walking around, not talking strategy. So it is interesting to see how real this game still is 40 seasons deep with all winners out there, and they're struggling with it too. Even Adam is struggling up on that pole. So moving after that, we see Jeremy and Denise winning the challenge, and then coming back to camp, you know, people start talking. This is the first vote of the merge of Survivor Winners at War. People are scrambling, a lot of names getting thrown out. You get Adam's name get thrown out, you get Wendell and Nick's name thrown out as a duo. We see, what did you think of Nick coming in every conversation with the compilation of Nick walking in on everyone entering the frame? What did you feel about that?
I loved it. Like, I felt like, you know, although I felt like, Nick, you shouldn't just be walking up to random people that you normally don't strategize with, but I feel like that was one of my mistakes in Cagayan, was that, like, I didn't interrupt conversations. So you never know if you interrupt conversations where how that can change the course of things. So I'm not even mad at that, because obviously we see Nick is still here. So I mean, it didn't do him bad. So I was here for that. Like, sometimes you got to shake things up. Sometimes you have to literally, like, you see people talking and you want to know what's going on, you got to walk over there and say, what's up, what's popping?
Yeah, I agree. I mean, it was a funny compilation. It made him look a little bad, and he probably could have been smoother with it. But at the end of the day, you hear a lot of people saying, let's go Nick over Wendell, and then and then ultimately Wendell goes, so maybe Nick did some good with those conversations. Nick's edit to me has just been so funny this season. You know, we see him with this compilation entering people's frames, entering conversations. We see back when he had a little crush on Parvati. Even this episode, again, we see him on the pole with a face-off with Jeremy, and Nick, and Jeremy's just staring him down, poker face, and Nick just starts giggling like a little schoolgirl. I mean, Nick... I don't know Nick personally, but he's pretty hilarious, and I'm loving the content we're getting from him in these episodes. It's a lot of fun.
Definitely.
I mean, so moving on, Jeremy, we see scrambling hard, and he's got that safety of immunity, so he wants to keep his boy Wendell in. You know, they're getting along. Jeremy ultimately wants to get Nick out to make Wendell his right-hand man. So we see Jeremy going around having a lot of quality conversations, in my opinion, from what it appears. Even with Denise, Denise says, you know, if it's Adam's time to go, it's Adam's time to go. She was down for that. And then we don't really see much about Wendell's name getting thrown out as a specific final option. You know, we saw Nick and Wendell have a little bit of a target on their back, but it seemed like Jeremy really successfully steered over to Adam. Ultimately, we get to tribal. That's not the case. Even Adam had that killer voting confessional. It's either me or you tonight. I know that, but do you? And then ultimately, our boy Wendell goes home. Bryce, can you give me some thoughts on that? Like, what do you think happened? How are you feeling as someone who's closest to Wendell? Like, give me the lay down here.
So there's a lot of things that I want to say. Number one, obviously, I love Jeremy personally out the game. But my thing is, like, with Jeremy, is like, what's the issue with Nick being close to Jeremy? What is the issue with Wendell being close to Nick? Like, and if that's the case, if you want to be the number one to Wendell, why don't you just have a conversation with him regarding that instead of, like, trying to take Nick out? So that's one. Two, my other issue is that, you know, I hate to be the bearer of, like, bad news and to always bring, like, race into things. But it really does bother me, like, for issue, the first person to go out of Winners at War is who? Natalie, a female of color. Okay, so now we get to the merge. And obviously, you know, we have all of these big players here and they're playing a great game. And don't get me wrong, I love me my Sophie. I think Sophie is playing a really, really, really great game. In my opinion, like I've been saying all this time on our Survivor News, that I really think Sophie might be the winner pick. However, my issue is, like, you know, Sophie brings up this conversation that she sees Jeremy and Wendell bro-ing it up. And that makes her uncomfortable. Well, here's the issue that I have with that is that, okay, so if you want to pick out a pair that is Wendell and Jeremy, what makes them so uncomfortable to you? But we have pairs like Denise and Adam. I see no one bringing that up. We've got pairs like Sarah and Tony. I see no one bringing that up. We have pairs of Ben and Sophie. No one bringing that up. Pairs of Ben and Sarah. No one bringing that up. So my issue is that, oh, okay, so now it's Jeremy and Wendell, and now that's a whole issue. Two brothers coming together, and then the first person off the merge is a person of color. So that's what bothers me the most, is because it's like, what's the issue with Jeremy and Wendell being cool and working together? Is it because the two black guys, they can't work together? Now, that's just my issue, and that bothers me a lot, because a lot of the time, people always, like, they don't like to talk about, ooh, the race card in Survivor. But I think that, you know, the race card plays a big part of a lot of things in Survivor that, you know, for upcoming players that play, like, it's important to, like, know that. Because obviously, my thing is, why can't they talk? Why can't they be friends? Like, I don't understand that. Does no one realize that Sarah and Tony played Kageon together? And they played another season together? Like, no one sees that? Like, that's not a big glaring issue? Like, and Wendell is the biggest target that y'all want to take out? Like, that is the problem. Like, I don't know, it just bothers me. But I understand, like, you know, y'all wanted to go with Wendell because what again? Like, I'm confused. Like, when you got people like Tony out there, when you got people like Sarah out there, you got people like Denise out there who's openly sitting at the table saying that she took, okay, Sandra out with an idol and gave another idol. So
Denise,
like,
did have immunity to that tribal, though.
I mean, okay, you're right. But I'm just saying that, like, there are a whole bunch of other pairs that are problematic, not just Jeremy and Wendell bro-ing it up. So that, like, a lot bothered me. But obviously, like, you know, my brother went home, so I'm hot and I'm mad about this episode. But it just kind of, like, I don't know. And obviously, we see where the core alliance is. Like, you know, on my Twitter, I had posted up, everyone voted for Wendell, but Michelle and Nick and Wendell. But obviously, it's like, so who's running that game? And then we see that, we see the talk when Jeremy was talking with Tony, and you see kind of Tony sort of kind of leaning towards the Wendell way. So obviously, to me, it's like, well, Sarah and Tony really must be the ringleaders, and no one else sees that, and everyone is just allowing them to skate by. But somebody like Wendell, you're willing to get rid of. And it's like, that, those are the moves, in my opinion, that, like, whoever is the winner of this game, kudos to, but, like, you know, you got to take out these big threats. In the same breath, I am, like, you know, although Wendell is gone, however, I now pour my support onto Tony and Sarah, Kageon Strong. Like, those are the people that I'm rooting for at this point. But I know that was a lot, but I'm just mad brother gone.
I'm processing that. And yeah, I mean, I think you have a better viewpoint on that than a lot of people that are talking about this right now really could. Just to give my two cents as someone who, you know, has never been in that position. Definitely.
Well, okay, and I'm just going to say this, tread lightly, because I'm fired up and I'll come
course,
for you. So
course.
Go ahead.
No, I don't want you to come for me. I'm saying, first off, I totally agree. I think it's remiss of people out there to say that race dynamics don't play a role in Survivor. You know, Survivor is supposed to be a reflection of our society. Not to say that anyone on the season is racist or anything, but clearly there might be some unconscious biases at play. Like you said, you have Jeremy and Wendell, two strong black men coming together. People might view that differently than they view these other pairs. So I totally agree with you there. But I will say, as Big threats in the game. You know, I think their bond at that point might have been more visible than other people's. You know, Sarah and Tony have been keeping it low key.
They have not been keeping it low key no more. Like, where have they been keeping it low key?
They were on separate tribes post swap, and they true. Just went to emerge. But true. I agree with those other duos out there, and almost I don't disagree with you here. I'm just thinking, you know, I just think Jeremy almost pushed so hard to keep Wendell that maybe that threw people off. But I do agree with you. It's a little suspicious. Not that anyone consciously was like, oh, yeah, let's get out the black people. Like, I don't think anyone was consciously thinking that. If they were, that would be atrocious. But I think there's definitely some layers here that you're digging at that people need to give more thought. And that actually brings up a really interesting perspective on the game of Survivor.
Absolutely. Like, it always is. It's like, that is, like, a lot of the times people stray away from that, but I always, you know, because that's what I see. And a lot of people are like, oh, that's not true. I don't see color. Well, girl, what world are you living in? Because we live in a colorful world. So it's like, obviously you have to see that. But I'm not taking away from anyone's game. I'm just saying that, like, I just find it ironic that is the pair that they have a problem with, and they need to break that pair up. So, in my opinion, there is a lot of other pairs that could have been broken up, but I'm just a scorn friend.
That's definitely a element that's in there. I don't think it's the whole thing. It's not the whole picture, but it's a little piece of the puzzle for sure.
It's not a little piece of the puzzle. Okay.
Well, it's a piece of the puzzle.
Right.
Period. But I love that energy you're bringing with that, because that made me think about things, you know, a way I hadn't really thought about it at all. And if you looking at a lot of seasons recently and all time. Pre-merge especially, you see a lot of minorities go out.
Look at my season. And I mean, it is what it is. Like, it's fine. But look at my season. Like, you think it's a coincidence that I'm the only black member, gay black member on my tribe, and we go to tribal and I'm the biggest threat? Like, you know, what was the commonality in all of my other tribe members? Like, you know what I mean? Like, people don't think about things like that. Like, it is for sure. I mean, but it's the name of the game, and that's fine. Mm-hmm. I could have fought harder, but I'm just saying, like, let them all collectively come together and say, we can get rid of Bryce.
No,
like,
you're
please.
Right. It's definitely an interesting subject to discuss and to think about. And there's just a lot to it. And I really appreciate you opening up on your thoughts about it, because I think that's going to make a lot of people think about it. It made me think about it in a way that I hadn't thought about it before. You know what I'm saying? So, right. I mean, I'm loving that type of expression. And I agree. I'm pissed Wendell went home. Hopefully he gets sauced up on the edge, but it's hard out there on the edge, so we'll see what happens.
Definitely. So I'm excited. I still love the game. I'm still mad, but at the end of the day, that's how the game rolls. But I just I am passionate, and every season that I see disparities like this, I always just try to point it out. And all people be like, oh, you're always bringing up the... No, I'm not. I'm just telling you how I see it. You can see it from the perspective that you see it, but I'm gonna tell you how from the perspective that I see it. And that's just the end of it. I still love Jeremy, although he ain't getting a Christmas card this year. Okay, just now and the kids. I understand the predicament that Jeremy is in. Like, obviously you can't ruffle the boat too much, because obviously you need to save yourself. It's a sinking ship. So listen, I gotta go. But I'm just saying, I just, like, of all of the people of the merge, and obviously, like, if it had to been Wendell, it's Wendell, but all of the people of the merge, and, like, you know, this is the storyline that they're building, that Sophie sees. Now, however, I ain't mad at Sophie though. Like, you know, for Sophie to see that, because obviously they probably would have got together and been a huge turkey. But I mean, I am also, again, as much as I'm, like, you know, mad at my girl Sophie is playing a phenomenal game thus far. I cannot give it to Sophie any much more, because I'm loving how so much under the radar, but how so much of a control she is, because obviously she has Sarah's ear, and Sarah's ear has Tony's ear, and obviously, like, you know, Tony is kind of sort of, in my opinion, driving this shit.
Yeah, I mean, I'm loving what I'm seeing from Tony right now. This alliance of threats is definitely interesting, and also underrated move, I will say. We see in this assemblance of threats, Tyson goes to Ben and he's like, hey, you're a big threat, you should join up with us. And I think he realized that Ben maybe feels a little insecure about his win. I'm actually watching that season right now, shouts to Desi, but I think he realized maybe Ben feels a little bit insecure about his win. So by going to him and be like, oh yeah, you were a big threat, you were a great player, that's an easy way to reel him in, because Ben's gonna be like, you know what, you're right, I was a great player, I was a big threat, like, let's protect each other. But there's definitely a lot cooking. Like you said, the oven's on full blast right now. The pizza is sizzling. and I just can't wait to see what keeps coming. We still got Edge of Extinction, a lot of legends out there now. They just gained one more legend sub.
Before we leave, let me ask you this question, because this was what was I... I can't even talk. This is what I was also wondering. So now that Boston Rob has an idol, and now that Natalie has an idol, are they just null and void, or do you think that they will be able to sell them to people on the other place for fire tokens?
I think they're null and void, but I still think there will be elements of trading. I don't know.
So I don't know, because I was on Twitter today, and I was just got, you know me, I likes to, you know, peruse the twits, and I like to peruse the Reddit. And some people on the Reddit was saying that, like, they'll be able to sell them to people on the other thing, and they were saying that, like, you know, Survivor said it. But I didn't see where Survivor said it at. But I think that that would be an interesting element if they're able to sell the idols to people across the way. But I didn't know. I just wanted to know what your thoughts on it.
No, yeah, I'm not sure. I think it would be interesting if they could sell the idols, although that might be a little bit of an oversaturation right off the bat, given that we know there's going to keep cranking in advantages over the course of time. But, you know, there's a lot still to come from Edge of Extinction. I'm sure there'll be advantage after advantage churned into the game. So I guess let's just see what happens. I really don't, but to answer your question, I'm really not sure. I'm interested to see. I might have to peruse the Reddits and the Twitter totters and whatnot myself. So, yeah.
All right, well, sorry for yelling at you, baby boy, but I just had a lot of heat and a lot of fire I had to get up off my chest. But thanks again for this week's Survivor News. Can we count on you next week to give the report of what's going on?
Oh, yeah, you can count on me. I'll be here.
All right, Jack, and we'll talk to you next week. Thanks again.
Peace, Bryce. Thank you.
All right, so I'm so excited for this segment that I'm doing on the Purple Pants podcast. I'm honored to have RHAP royalty with me. So let me just give you a bit of a backstory. So this weekend, you know, quarantining and chilling, minding my business, doing what I do, which is really just eating Cheetos in the bed. I came across this show called Unorthodox on Netflix. And I was, you know, like, okay, Friday night, turn up. I started watching it and I did not think that I was going to get so pulled into it. And so I started watching it and I saw that it was only 4 episodes. So I was like, okay, let me pace myself. I'm going to watch an episode tonight. I'm going to watch 2 episodes on Saturday and finish it up on Sunday. And so on Saturday, I happened to tweet about it, just saying, like, guys, I'm watching Unorthodox, and whoo, my emotions. And the thread that started rolling in was crazy. And so many of the RHAP supporters and the Purple Pants posse was like, you need to get Akiva on the show. You and Akiva need the podcast. Well, first of all, that's a dream come true to have Akiva on my podcast. But without further ado, I'd like to welcome Akiva to the Purple Pants podcast.
Oh my God, what an honor. What an intro, Bryce. Bryce, I feel like we've been circling each other for like a month or two now. So
yes,
this is exciting that we finally, you know, get to do our first podcast together. That sounds like a pretty wild Friday night that you had, like with quarantine. I'm going to watch a subtitled Netflix show in Yiddish.
Right.
That sounds like a normal Friday night.
I didn't know it was subtitled, to be honest. And when I watched it, I was like, oh no, I don't know if I'm be able to watch this. But I was like, let me get 20 minutes into it. And it really kind of pulled me in. And I always love a show that has subtitles that you get so into it that you don't even realize that they're subtitles. I'm not even lying. I really thought by the end of it, I could speak, how you say it, Yiddish?
Yiddish, yes.
I thought, because there were some parts on the show that they wouldn't even show the subtitles. And I felt like, I was like, oh, I know what Yankee is saying. So I was like, whew. But so I'm so glad to have you on this podcast, because you can be a great point of reference. Because I was telling you before, I more so go off of emotion. And I feel like that you can be a great storyteller and help us break down this amazing story of Unorthodox.
Yeah, what's actually interesting is I read the book Unorthodox, however many years ago it was, by Deborah Feldman, who's the Esty, whose name is Esty in the story. It's her story. Obviously, they took a lot of liberties for Netflix, but I had no idea the show was coming out, Bryce. Like, I was like, all right, I read that book, probably forgot it existed, you know, and then I like, you know, saw people talking about it, like reviews for it. That they, Netflix likes to sneak things up on you, right? They don't do like 2 months of publicity for anything. They're like, I think they don't want people to watch their shows. It's kind of weird. Netflix strategy is very strange.
But I think that it works, though. I think that they don't do the strategy like that, because I feel like when you see it on Netflix, you'd be like, do I want to watch this? Do I not? And then it's like, you all of a sudden, you're watching it, and then you're hooked, and then you start tweeting about it, and then everyone else starts tweeting about it. So actually, it's kind of smart the way they do it.
Yeah, I guess, especially with, like, if something breaks, like Tiger King, then obviously that works. But then a lot, I feel like a lot of things, like, you scroll through and it's like, oh, I didn't know that existed. Like, that looks, like, pretty, you know, ambitious or whatever. And, like, I've never heard one word about it. So I guess, it, like, the wheat gets separated from the chaff. Like, some of the stuff is really just falls, you know, nobody ever hears of it. But we're going to keep Unorthodox alive here.
Yes, absolutely. I'm all in. So can you break us down, like, give us, like, the rundown of kind of the show and where it starts and just, you know, give us that good juicy juice.
Yeah, so Unorthodox is the story of a Hasid. And you tell me, because I'm, like, so inside baseball. I'm an Orthodox Jew. I'm not at all a Hasidic Jew. I have tons of familiarity with Hasidic Judaism. But I'm just speaking from, you know, like, sort of mostly secondhand knowledge of people I know. So if I'm saying something that you think the average listener wouldn't know, you could correct me. But basically, Esty in the show, who's Deborah Feldman wrote the book, but they changed her character's name to Esty. She is a 17-year-old, when the show starts, woman who lives in Brooklyn, probably just finished high school, like that, you know, that month or something. And she is getting married to a guy that she has met once, right? We see them meet once with their family there. They talk for like 5 minutes, 10 minutes, and that's it. That's probably, in their actual courting, you know, maybe they meet two times, but, like, that's the full courtship as far as, you know, we see on the show. And it's pretty realistic.
And you can confirm that this is not Love is Blind. This is actually, like, real life. Like, not the Netflix show Love is Blind. This is, like, just real life. This is, she only met him once.
She met him once. That's common. I mean, depends on the sect, depends on the people. Maybe you'd meet a few times, but it would never be, you'd never be at that level, the stricter sects of Hasidism. You would never, you wouldn't, like, you know, go for dates out, just the two of you. You wouldn't go, like, maybe you get a little bit more liberal sects. Maybe you'd go to, like, a hotel lobby. You're still in public, but you could, like, talk without your parents there. But there it's like, it's literally just stamping the deal. Your parents are basically making, it's a semi-arranged marriage where, like, you can nix your parents' plan, you know, your parents' plan, or you could meet the guy and be like, no, I'm not attracted to him, or, like, no, he seems like a loser. But basically, I think at this point, it's like mostly a done deal for a lot of people.
Got you. And it seemed like from what I saw of that portion of it was that, like, Esty didn't really have a say in it. Esty looked like her mother, from what we know in the beginning, like, they say that her mother abandoned her, so she didn't have a mother. And it appeared that her father was, like, they used the term, like, the prodigal son. Like, it kind of seemed like he was kind of, like, in and out a little bit. And so she was raised by her grandparents. And so it looked as though, as almost as if, like, Esty was a hard sell to get married. And so when she met her husband, Yankee, it seemed like her family, like, she didn't really have an option. Like, it seemed like her, and was that her, like, it was her grandmother and her great-grandmother?
Yes, that's her grandmother, and I think it's her, no, it's her, yeah, I think so. I'm not, or okay. Is it her great aunt? I'm not sure.
Right, or aunt or something, and it seemed like they were very kind of, like, pushy for Esty to kind of meet, not for really for her to be like, this who you marrying, you going off with him, and your life is going to be so much better. And then the story kind of goes back and forth, because at the same time, we see Esty, you know, leaving and traveling to Germany. And so a lot of the show is kind of like, you were in the future, and then we learn a lot of the back history. Because at first, when I'm seeing Esty leave and running away from her husband, I'm like, girl, what is you doing? It's people out here like me that can't even get, you know, two successful dates. Here it is, you married, and, like, you know, so I'm like, Esty, what's going on, girl? Like, stay, what's so? But the more and more we learn, the more and more we kind of figure out why Esty, like, felt the need to leave the community and really want to, like, strike her life on her own.
Yeah, one of the interesting things also is the actress Shir Haas. I'm sure she's much older than 17, but she has, you know, she looks very young, right?
And yes,
Esty is, I don't know if they say it explicitly in that first episode, but she is 17, right? When she gets married, she's, you know, she's 18. And, you know, even there, you know, throughout the course of the show, one of the major subplots is, when are you having a baby? When are you having a baby? We're talking about a teenager still, right?
Right.
Even though it's been a year, she's probably still about 19 years old. I don't know the exact timeline of the real story, but I think it's pretty similar. Whereas, you know, the second you get married, you are expected to start having kids. And right, we see their wedding. We see what do you think about that, Bryce? Did you like the fact that, like, would you have liked the more linear story where it's like, You know, and also, I guess, second question, like, there's only four episodes. I feel like it's such a rich world. Would this have been better as, like, an 8-10 episode where we really got to see their marriage for a couple episodes? Like, all right, we're in New York, and then, boom, let's go to Germany for the second half.
So I kind of liked it that way. I kind of like shows that kind of go back and forth because it kind of... The whole time you're like, what the hell's going on? And then you start kind of piecing it together. And as you piece more together, I feel like you and your mind, it draws you in a lot more. So, I mean, you know, at first, and when we're seeing her get married, it seems like she's buying into, like, you know, okay, Yankee is my husband. Like, you know, we're going to have this life together. And yeah, but it just was really interesting for me to see, like, the whole process that Etsy had to go through. And I'm not sure, like, a lot of the things, but it seemed like she had to go through, like, a physical, like, somebody had to really, like, check to see if she was a virgin. She had to, like, the scene where she had to get, like, naked and essentially baptize herself.
Yeah, that's called the mikvah, yeah. Yeah, I do wonder with stuff like that also. So, by the way, this whole show, I think, is shot in Germany. I don't know if you got to watch, but there's a really good, like, 20-minute making of, which Netflix a lot of times doesn't do, where they, like, show how it's, like, they, you know, they're able to transform Williamsburg, you know, Brooklyn into Germany. Uh-huh. And, you know, like, a lot of, like, that, if you think about it now, like, that scene in when she's trying to leave her apartment, she realizes she can't for, like, complicated religious reasons that are probably beyond the scope of any podcast, where she can't leave her apartment and there's, like, a little bit of a twist. Like, that's not a Brooklyn apartment, right? That's probably, like, now that I think about it, that's, like, a Germany type, you know, stuff.
Right, now that you kind of say that, like, the front of it and how the building is set up, that is interesting. But good point to bring up. So it starts off where Etsy is trying to leave her apartment, and obviously she has a passport, she got the money ready, and she's, like, getting ready to, like, leave, but she can't because they're saying it's Sabbath, and, like, she can't bring a bag out during Sabbath, or what, like, there's some type of religious rule, so she has to go back upstairs and, like, repack her little bit of bag that she had and really just bring, it looks like, a picture of her grandmother, a passport, and some money. And she heads to this woman's house, who I don't, you remember her name?
No, I don't.
Okay. Yeah, I don't remember her name either. So, but she heads to this woman's house who essentially helped her. And the woman was her piano teacher. And throughout the course of the series, we learned that her grandfather owned property. And so her father, she would go with her father to collect rent from these properties. And there was a piano teacher. And the piano teacher was a little bit behind on her rent. So Etsy was there when her dad was trying to collect rent. And the piano teacher saw how interested Etsy was in the piano, and she was like, well, you know, I could offer you lessons. They don't really show how it actually broke down, but Etsy had formed a relationship with this woman, and this woman had helped Etsy obtain her German passport. We learn in the show of one of, like, the interactions that Etsy had with her mom before she got married. Etsy had an estranged relationship with her mom. Etsy was kind of sort of very bitter to her mom because she felt like her mom abandoned her. And at one of the scenes when Etsy, before Etsy got married, when she was a young girl, her mom gave her these papers and was like, here are documents of my grandfather, and that you are eligible to have, like, a dual citizenship, like a U.S. citizenship and a German citizenship, and you should hold on to this if you ever need it. And obviously Etsy uses it to get a passport to Germany. So she gets this passport from she meets up with this lady, she gets the passport, and she just literally hits to Germany with just the clothes on her back, nothing else, just this, everything that she has. And so at that point, it really kind of, that's when I was like, ooh, I'm invested in this story, because it's like, I can't imagine going to my parents' house for a holiday. Like, if I go to my mom's house for, like, the weekend for, like, mm-hmm. Thanksgiving, I pack, like, 20 bags because, like, I need, like, you know, I need clothes to lounge in. I need, like, you know, clothes for after Thanksgiving. Like, so I always have to have clothes. So she literally just goes with the skirt and, like, her shirt. And I'm like, geez, she really must be running from something. And as we learn, she gets to Germany and she's supposed to meet up with her mother. But she gets to the apartment and her mom's not there. And so Etsy feels like she's kind of, like, on her own. So she's just, like, roaming the city of Germany by herself. And it's just like, wow, like, you think 18 years old, you're willing to leave everything you know to travel to Germany to just, like, anything could happen. She don't have no cell phone. She don't have nothing. Like, everything is just going off of, like, information given to her? Like, what were you thinking at that point, Akiva? Like, were you buying into the story? Like, what were your thoughts? Like, seeing like how much she was willing to risk?
Yeah, so it's interesting because on one hand, like, she's a married 18-year-old, so she is like a woman who's, right, you know, established in life. And like, on the other hand, she, her sort of like, you know, coping skill, like social skills, are probably below a lot of, you know, random high schoolers who were also her age. Like, you know, as we see, she doesn't know how to use a computer. Her first language is not English. It's interesting because the actress is Israeli, and so she's an Israeli pretending to be an American who doesn't speak English. Like, you know, the accents didn't really bother me. They were pretty good, but that's like I don't know, it hurts my head. It's like four different languages, right? English, Hebrew, Yiddish, and German although Yiddish and German are have a lot of similarities. So the reason they picked Germany is because that is where the real SD lives. Like, she did move to Germany. I think she had like a couple kids, and it took like 5 years, not 2 hours, from when she left her husband to, you know, but you know, for Netflix purposes, we sped up the storyline. But yeah, she's there again. No social skills, nowhere to live. I mean, she's sleeping in the you know, amphitheater or wherever of the school, you know, musical chamber. I don't even know what you'd call that room. But she, you know, she's sleeping there. And then I think one of the things they do here, and, you know, I'd be interested for people who are not super familiar with this world, is like, it seems like in every scene in the, you know, present time, we see her like take one more step into the secular world, which really starts with what you mentioned, the piano lessons. Like, it's hard to explain like how big of a deal it is for someone in that world to even take piano lessons from like, you know, and playing, you know, secular non-Hasidic songs, right? Even like that was scandalous, right? Like, that's the husband. That's honestly, and I'm very curious what you think about her husband. Like, that's his biggest problem with her. Like, he keeps bringing that up, right? Like, you go to the piano teacher, like, how dare you, right? The husband is, what do you think about the husband? Because the cousin is like a monster, right? He's the bad guy of the show.
Don't even get me started. Oh, he's so annoying. So, actuality, my heart goes out for Yankee as well. As much as my heart aches for Etsy, my heart aches for Yankee as well. Because in my opinion, and again, like, I don't want to like be disrespectful to anybody's religion. Like, I don't know. I'm not informative. That's why I got, you know, Akiva here to keep me in line. But I, like, from what I get from Akiva is that, like, he is a man of his religion and a man of his faith. And he wanted to, first of all, let me just back it up a little bit. Yankee is a mama's boy. Okay. So, like, whether he's Jewish, whether, you know, whether he be Christian, whether he be Muslim, whether he be yellow, brown, green, blue, he a mama's boy. And so that's one of the issues with Yankee in my, just an issue for me, is that he's a mama's boy. Like, he doesn't wear underwear. He wears pull-up pants. Like, he's a baby. So I feel like that was a fundamental issue in his relationship with Etsy, is that, like, instead of keeping his problems in his household, he took everything to his mother. Like, for instance, like, you know, him and Etsy were supposed to have sex, and Etsy's a virgin. And so, like, there was issues with them having sex. It hurt, and Etsy did not want to have sex. And so, you know, Etsy was a trooper. She continued to try and try and try, but it never happened. And we see this scene where one night they try to have intercourse and it doesn't work. And it seems like, you know, Yankee's upset. The next day he goes to work and Etsy is like, you know, at home being a housewife, you know, making some coffee, and her mother-in-law comes by, and her mother-in-law, like, you know, stops by. Etsy's like, oh, hey, how you doing? What's up, girl? You know, just, you know, the regular old mother-in-law. And all of a sudden the mother-in-law is like, Etsy, Yankee told me y'all having trouble having sex. And essentially, I feel like she gives her like lube or something. And like, and Etsy is like, bitch, what the hell? What you like? You know, to her surprise, like, why does she know about our bedroom? And so the more and more we learn about Etsy, the more and more we see the things that like Etsy just could not deal with. Because in my opinion, I felt like Etsy was trying to make everything worked, but it just seemed like at every turn she got pushed away. So back to what I think about Yankee. Other than the fact that he's a mama's boy, my heart went out for Yankee because, again, I felt like he was a man of his faith and he wanted a wife and he wanted a family. And that's all that he wanted. Like, I felt like he genuinely loved Etsy and I felt like he genuinely cared about Etsy. And as we know in the the show that he allowed Etsy to continue to do piano for a period of time, which most men in that predicament would not. So we see that he's willing to break the rules. However, being as though that his family is so much in his ear, like he just reinforces what the family and the religious wants in his relationship with Etsy. So I did not hate Yankee. I actually, like, my heart and watching it to the end, my heart went out for Yankee because I just felt like he just, like, you know, I felt bad for him because I felt like he lost his wife. And mind you, we're probably going to be jumping around all over the place. So the
but so did the show. That's fine.
Right.
And so, also remember, Yankee's, you know, he's 20. Like, he's right. A baby too. And, you know, it's normal for a 20-year-old to be a mama's boy a little bit. And, yeah, like, maybe there's a little bit where, and, the, you know, the climactic scene where, like, it almost works out, right? Like, according, you know, if according to Hollywood, at least, like, maybe he, you know, he calms down for 1 second and Esty tells him their big news and then right. He stays and they live happily ever after. Who knows? Like, he was that close. But I do think, like, maybe he turns into, you know, he gets a job and calms down and turns into, like, a pretty, you know, decent dad and good father. But he's over his head with a helicopter mother, you know, dealing with his wife. The truth is, I spoke to a Sommer person to get a background, what they thought was, you know, realistic and unrealistic. And to them, the most horrifying thing was the mother-in-law getting involved in their bedroom, because they're such conservative people by nature. Like, you, it would not be like, even Esty would not talk about this with her friends. Like, we don't really see Esty having too many friends on the New York side of things, but, like, it would be completely verboten for them to, like, have that conversation even. It would be scandalous to talk about with her girlfriends, let alone her mother-in-law. Really, if she was having problems like that, it would be for, you know, like, an actual, you know, medical person or her mom, who's clearly not in the picture, which is why her mother-in-law's, I think, trying to step in. But, like, that was what was, I think, most scandalous of the whole show to, you know, to people from the base. Like, what? The mother-in-law's getting involved in that? No, no, no.
It's a lot more. And so we learned that Etsy is pregnant, and that after Etsy has left for Germany, you know, she does not come home, and Yankee goes to the family, and Yankee tells the family, and they have this big family meeting, and they have the rabbi come in, and he tells the rabbi that, you know, Etsy's pregnant, and they get this cousin. And what was the cousin's name? I was about to say Malik.
Moshi, sure, right?
Moshi. Yes, Moshi. In my mind, Malik, because I got a cousin named Malik. Mm. So, cousin Malik, who is, like, he seems, in my opinion, like a backslider of the faith, and is mm-hmm. trying to kind of sort of get back into good terms. Yep. And it seems like he lost his family. We know that he has a gambling addiction, and we know that he don't follow the rules of, like, the faith, like how everyone else does. So they bring this cousin Malik in to basically be like, y'all need to go to Germany, because they're not so much concerned about Etsy at this point, because they wanted to get rid of Etsy. Like, they were like, we're gonna divorce her, you still young enough, Yankee, you can get you another wife and have kids. But once they find out this child is involved, that they are like, you need to go get this child. And so another thing that really kind of struck me watching this documentary was it seemed like the women are, like, not treated like humans. Like, they are more treated like property of the men. Like, it's like, your job here is to serve your husband and bear babies. And another thing that I thought was so interesting, that when Etsy, so I'm about to jump around because I'm about to ask your opinion, Akiva, is that when Etsy goes to the hospital in Germany, because Etsy knows that she's pregnant, mm-hmm. and she goes to the hospital in Germany, and basically they're like, well, we can talk about your options. And Etsy is offended. She's yeah. like, my options? And she's like, you know, we have to rebuild the 6 million Jews that were lost in the Holocaust. And like, can you talk about that a little bit mm-hmm. more? Like, is that, I don't even, just, if you can explain that, because, like, is that why, like, they have so many children? Is because, like, they are trying to, like, I don't, this is where I'm, you know.
Yeah, so it's a great question. One of the interesting things is that, first of all, like, even though Esty, we see a lot of times during the show, as it goes on, like, even though Esty has sort of left the faith, and, you know, we could talk about, like, the little things she does, like, one by one to like, shed her skin, right, once she gets to Germany. There's certain things that are still too far, right? And you know, even though, like, we see her, you know, sleep with a strange man, things that would have been, you know, unthinkable, like, maybe, I don't know the timeline of the show, but, like, a month earlier, 3 months earlier in her life. But, like, to her, the idea of abortion, like, I don't know if she knows what an abortion is, right?
Right.
This is a person who doesn't have, the, you know... a traditional education at you know, like there, a lot of things she doesn't know. We see her ask, you know, Google, like, is there a God?
Right.
You know, which was funny. And we also see her husband yell to like Alexa or whatever it was to Google.
Where,
like,
is Etsy?
Where is Etsy? And it, so I asked our Sommer friend, like, is that realistic? And they said, absolutely. I know many people who have never used any sort of smartphone or that technology in their life who would be similarly, like, flummoxed by the technology. So it's a great question. And, you know, I can only give a serious answer. But one of the interesting things about the show, Bryce, is that they didn't pick Germany, right? Like, Germany was picked for them because that's really where she went. And maybe she could have gone to Austria or Sweden or anywhere else in Europe. But because it is Germany, the country most closely, you know, synonymous with the Holocaust,
right,
like, there are so many mentions of the Holocaust. So I would, you know, be curious with what you thought or, you know, about that. But even when she goes swimming in the lake, which is sort of the first shedding my skin by taking off, you know, the tights or whatever and going in the water, which is such a big deal for uncovering her hair, right? And she, I believe in that scene, right, she throws her Schädel, which is her hair covering, into that lake in Berlin, which they say is, like, right near where, like, the Nazis made a lot of key decisions in some, you know, lake house or something. But they really, it is very heavy-handed where there is a lot of, like, isn't it crazy that we're in Germany doing this, you know, 70 years after we were almost, you know, exterminated. But to answer your question, Hasidic people have always had many, many children. I do think that is a thing now. There are still less Jewish people than there were in the early 1940s, you know, pre-Holocaust. So there is definitely a thing, like, because obviously the world population has probably tripled or quadrupled since then, and the Jewish population was hit so hard that it still hasn't recovered. So there is definitely a thing there, but I just think abortion would have been so beyond the scope of for Esty. And also, like, her mom messed up, right? Like, or right, you know, and we could talk about her mom, but, like, her mom, you know, in Esty's mind is not a great mom. I think Esty can only end the cycle by being a great mom, right?
Right.
I think she probably, even though maybe she's not ready, like, she doesn't have a job and she's a teenager, like, in her mind, and she's living in a foreign country where she doesn't even speak the language, like, she has to, you know, she has to be a better mom, I think, for this baby. So it's a complicated question, but I think that's a, you know, there's some of that there.
And then there are, like, some points in my mind where I'm like, you know, I get a little upset with Etsy because, you know, I'm a social worker. So my social worker kind of skills kick in. And it's like, well, girl, you know, you pregnant. You can't just keep the father of this child away. Like, you know, mm-hmm. So there's so many levels on my mind where I'm like, well, that is so wrong of Etsy to keep this, to want to just up and leave and not tell her husband about this child. At the same time, I understand kind of like sort of the predicament that Etsy is in a little bit. So to kind of like wrap a little bit more things up. So Etsy kind of like discovers this performing arts school where she meets these friends that I kind of really kind of sort of take her in. And they're all different backgrounds. They're all different races. And they really kind of sort of become Etsy's kind of makeshift family as she is literally a homeless girl on the street. And as Etsy, like, you know, plays the piano, she learns that there is a scholarship program that she would be able to get into this program if she can play an instrument. So she can play the piano. So she is going to, like, sign up to have an interview, which the interview is really hard to get. But, you know, because Etsy, people feel for her, they are able to get her an interview. At the same time, cousin Malik and Yankee go all the way across, you know, from New York to Germany to find Etsy. Now, my mind, I'm like, how the hell they gonna find Etsy by going to, like, you know, Germany's a big city. Like, you know, how you just gonna find her? But so they go to Germany and they try to find Etsy. And another thing that I didn't like about this show is if I'm Etsy and I was supposed to go to my mom's house, I'ma just wait on her doorstep. Like, you know, I'm not just gonna, like, just go off into the city. But so Etsy doesn't really, you know, go see her mom. And so soon as cousin Malik and Yankee get to Germany, they go to Etsy's mom's house. And, you know, Etsy's mom is kind of rather surprised. And she is, you know, first of all, she buzzes them up. Why are you buzzing them up?
Yeah.
I would talk to them right through the door, like, bzz, what's up? But she lets them up, and another thing that you kind of get to see is like this tone of like, they're not really like coming to like say, hey, Etsy, like, what's up? We coming back. Like, they are coming to take Etsy back.
Yeah.
And you see a lot of this aggression, especially in this cousin Malik, where you see as in Yankee, he's more like, have you seen Etsy? And so the mom is like, I have not seen her. She's not here. Obviously, cousin Malik, he don't believe her. And now, you know, Etsy's mom and her partner are like, should we call the police? And she's like, we can't call the police yet. So a lot goes on after like this. But Etsy is, you know, making these new friends. She finds these friends. They really kind of like support her. She's got a love interest, you know, a cute little, I think he's German. He's from Germany. He look all right. And, yeah. You know, there's a love interest there. And they have dinner parties. And at this one dinner party, they're like, Etsy, you're trying out for this, you know, the audition. Like, let us hear you play. And so, you know, we hear Etsy play. Now, mind you, when I hear her play, I'm like, oh, she sounds good. Like, this is good.
That's a weird scene, right? Like, we thought, right. Like, oh, she's great. I don't have an ear for music to know. Right. Like, okay, that was a B+/A-. That's a weird scene. I agree.
And so the friends, their one friend kind of sort of rips Etsy apart. And it's like, girl, you play all right, but you're not good. Like, this program is like excellent. Like, you're not good for excellent. But I mean, I kind of like, as much as I thought that friend was a bitch, I like a friend like that. Actually, don't baby me. Tell me what you need to hear. But she didn't have to tell her like that. So it kind of sends Etsy in a spiral where she feels like she's uneducated. Here's this one hope of chance that she thought that she would have. And now it's been decimated. Like, what is she going to do? And I don't really know what kind of sort of happens after that. But what I do know is that she kind of comes back around to the friends. They were worried about her. And then they are saying like, oh, one of the friends is playing at a nightclub. You should come to the nightclub. And of course, like, you know, Etsy is very like socially awkward. She's like very timid, shy. So as she is like, you know, we've seen her experience this nightclub. And like, you know, what I love about it is that like you are really kind of like seeing her experience her life for the first time. And that's kind of like one of the messages that, despite like the religion aspect of it, I think is what drawn me to this story, is that like, no matter where you come from, no matter your background, like, you have to follow your passion and follow your drive in life. And so that's kind of like the message that I got from the story. And that's kind of like why I admire Etsy so much. And so I'm just kind of sort of telling this nightclub story because it leads to like the juicy part. But so Etsy, one of the main guys that Etsy met, who's in the circle of friends, they go to this nightclub. However, cousin Malik, despite how much of an asshole he is, you know, cousin Malik done found Etsy and follows her to this nightclub. I just really wanted somebody to like just punch cousin Malik in the face like four times.
You need to get hit once in this show for sure.
Just like, just so annoying. But so he sees Etsy at this club. He takes a photo of her. But then Etsy and her love interest, they kind of sort of go off back to his apartment. And they kind of sort of like, you know, have a little intercourse. But what I love about the scene of the intercourse scene is that like we see Etsy having intercourse with her husband. How just it's like, with her husband, it's more like, we got to get the job done. Yep. Like, it's robotic. And with this scene, it's more like, you know, Etsy doesn't really like, she just goes in and kisses him. And he's like, wait, baby girl, slow it down. Like, you know, let me caress your body. And so there was something about that scene that I really could appreciate. Like, Etsy kind of like seeing like, listen, like, this is how you are supposed to be treated. Mm-hmm. However, at the same time, in my mind, I'm like, ooh, Etsy, you a little hot in the pants. You married, you pregnant, and you having sex with some random guy. But, I mean, it's another day on Tinder for normal American people. So, I mean, I don't know. But I just was like, oh, my God, Etsy. But I really appreciated that, that scene. And so it kind of leads to, I guess that night they talked about Etsy and the piano, and I guess they discovered Etsy's hidden talent. So the next day, Etsy, I mean, I guess it's not really important, but the next day Etsy kind of like goes practicing. We don't really know what she goes to practice for. The love interest kind of sets her up with this guy and they go practice. Here we are thinking they're going to be practicing piano. Another interesting point, you probably don't get a lot out of this, Akiva, but I kind of got a little bit out of it, was cousin Malik. I guess he spent, I don't know where he went after he saw you. I don't know if you know where I'm about to go with this, but after cousin Malik found Etsy at the nightclub, we don't know where he went, but cousin Malik is a gambler, so he probably went to gamble. But after he like found Etsy, the next morning he goes like to this river and gets like naked.
Yeah,
and we see a little penis. We don't normally see penises in movies, so we saw a little penis, and he jumped into like this lake and then goes back and tells.
Well, that's the jumping in the lake is probably him going to like, well, the mikveh, similar to what she did. There's just maybe he doesn't have access to one in Germany. It's the same type of like, you know, ritual bathing.
So, but this is what I was thinking though. Was it a ritual bathing? Because is he thinking like, yes, I found Etsy. So now that I found Etsy, I'll be able to bring her home and I'll be able to have my family back.
Very possibly. Yeah. I mean, it's weird because it's like he doesn't seem super concerned with religion. I like that his like, you know, obviously we see him do worse things, you know, once we're like deep in Germany. But it's funny, his like main like vice is that he keeps playing this like casino phone game on his phone, which amazes Yankee, right? Like it's like, what is this? I've never seen it before. He's like, you know, even though he has rebelled, it's still like kind of to use the word like babyish rebellion. You know what I mean? It's like,
right.
In some ways he's like hanging out with strippers at like a dance club, but right. In other ways he's like, oh, like the most sort of like the most depraved thing I could do is like play this casino game on my phone any chance I get.
You playing Candy Crush? Okay. Like, I cannot believe you.
Yeah. Wait till the rabbi finds out you're playing
Candy Crush. I know. Oh, my God. The rabbi is going to have his head. But, like, another thing that I did, like, I don't know. And maybe did you, and again, I'm not trying to disrespect nobody, but I very got much like the mob from like how they had the meeting with the rabbi and they sending a cousin to go get her. Like, it was very much like, I don't know. I just felt very like, I don't know, like crime family, like we gonna send you to go to Germany to bring the girl back at any cost. Like that was just kind of like, I don't know, but
yeah. I think that's probably the least realistic part of the show, right? I think I'm actually surprised, and I think the reviewers were a little surprised. Like they turned it into a little bit more of an action show than just like a drama that happens in Germany. You know, he brings a gun, right?
Right.
Like I don't think you could bring guns to Germany with, you know, you get caught, you probably do a lot of years in jail or something. It's not like America. I do think that part is very unrealistic. I don't think that like the Satmar rabbis have a lot of sway, you know, a lot of people just like running around Germany, you know, with firearms. Like I think that part was the least realistic part, honestly. I don't think that's that part of the story happened. I think she went to Germany and people didn't chase her in. Part of going to Germany is just like you said, like if you're saying it's like the mafia, it's like, well, they're at home, they can control what she does. So if she has the baby, Bryce, in Williamsburg, and then she stops being Orthodox, who do you think gets to keep the baby?
Right. It would be Yankee and his family.
Yeah, the judge is going to give it. Like, the New York judges are going to give it to Yankee and his family. Right? They're going to portray her as, like, we have the money, we have all the power in this relationship. So really, a lot of why they're leaving, and they don't really ever say it explicitly, is, like, because she's having this baby, the only way she can control the baby is to leave the country. Because, like, you will, if you leave the faith, even to become, you know, let's say a little bit more like me, which is modern, but still, like, you would lose that court case in most American courts.
Wow.
Tie goes to, like, the original religion in America. It's, you know, it's a fascinating thing and maybe beyond the scope of a TV podcast, but it's, you know, very tricky.
That's so interesting. So that kind of, like, there goes my thing about being, like, how could you, like, take that baby? So it was actually more to that. And then we learned that Etsy finally makes it to her mom's house because, you know, I forget... So mind you, cousin Malik finally caught up with Etsy and kind of like grabs her, threw her in his taxi, but he didn't really do anything to her. Like he pulled out the gun and then left the gun with her. That I was like, okay, that's stupid.
Yeah, it was stupid.
he just kind of shook her up. And from there, she went to her mom's house. And after she went to her mom's house, like, you know, Etsy kind of like wanted to lean on her mom. But at the same time, like, you know, bitch, you ain't been my mom this whole time. So, like, right. you know, she's kind of very upset with her mom. However, her mom reveals to her that, like, I never left you, Etsy. Like, I was taken from you. And just like you just explained to Kiva, she said that, like, the courts, like, she lost Etsy to the court system. And so Etsy has a better understanding of her mom. Yeah. And, you know, so what
also,
I
her
like
mom, her mom has a girlfriend there, right? Which, her mom which also, like, would be scandalous in that world and probably is one of the reasons why she left or was forced out.
Right. Absolutely. So, you know, now the mom's LGBTQ, okay, up in Germany, living her best life. But so Etsy stays at her mom's house, and then, you know, it's the night before her big audition. And so Etsy gets ready. She has her mom's support, and her mom is like, I'm going to meet you there. And obviously, this is essentially like the climax of everything that we've been building up, like, let alone like Cousin Malik and Yankee finding Etsy. But Yankee knows about this meeting, and so Yankee goes to the performance as well. And so here we are. We see Etsy on the stage, and she's like, I don't want to do a piano. I actually want to sing. And we like, I'm like, wait a minute, Paul, sing? Girl, I heard you sing this whole episode, girl. Yeah. This whole four, you can sing?
Plot twist.
Plot twist. So then, but as I feel like Etsy can never catch a break. So Etsy performs the song, and you know, her mom is there. She's outside the door. Now, mind you, this is when the mom became my good, good girlfriend, because as Etsy and then, you know, all of her friends and her love interests are there to support her, Etsy's mom is like outside the auditorium at this point, and then Cousin Malik show up. And Cousin Malik is like, I'm here to take Etsy. And Etsy mom is like, listen, baby boy, you ain't messing up this for her. And then he's like, oh, yeah. And then the mom pull out the gun. I was like, ooh, chile. The mom pull out the gun and was like, was popping. Okay. And then Cousin Malik just scurry on. He scurries on. So as all of that is happening, Etsy is singing her heart out. And we learned that Etsy has an amazing voice. But then just like Etsy, when she was at the friend's house playing the piano, these judges are like, that song was good, but it was meant for a soprano and you have more of an alto voice. First of all, okay, this one I wanted to jump through the screen, Akiva. I'm like, first of all, it don't matter if it's yeah. a soprano song. If I sung it in alto, okay, I'm getting mad. Hold on, wait. 10987654. Because I'm getting mad though, because I'm like, what do it matter if I sing it a little deeper? If I'm singing it deep, if I'm singing it like Toni Braxton, it don't matter. So then they're like, do you have another song prepared? And after the other song, you know, Etsy sings, and that song really kind of touched my heart. I don't know what she was saying, because
yeah,
it was
that's,
in
see,
Yiddish.
That's a Jewish song, Mi Bon Siach. Yeah.
Yes. Yes. So how you say it? Mi Bon Siach?
Mi Bon Siach, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so the first song also is the song that she says that her grandma taught her. One of the things that also a non-Orthodox person might not catch is that women would never sing in front of men, ever, yeah. ever, ever. Even really in front of her husband, I'm sure, has never heard her sing, even if they had a better relationship, like a very, it's more standard, relationship. So it's like a big deal for you know, Yankee, or certainly for Moishi to, you know, to be hearing her sing, or for her to sing in public at all. Like, this is, it's funny because we've seen her take off her sheitel, right, her head covering. We saw her eat ham.
We saw her sleep
with like the random dude. But this
don't
is like,
forget jeans. Don't forget jeans. Yeah, she had on jeans.
That's a good one. And jeans. But this is like the worst one. Is the public singing?
Right.
Like, this is the final straw. The actress says, "This scene was meaningful for me because it's literally about a girl finding her own voice. She literally has found her own voice."
And so from there, it's very touching. You know, she then introduces her friends to her mom, which is, I feel like, a huge thing, because obviously, like, she's, you know, acknowledging her mother. But then she sees Yankee. And this is kind of like where my heart, this is where I was like, I don't know. So she reconnects with Yankee. They are walking, you know, they're walking. And I guess, like, you know, we are missing out a lot of stuff, but listen, go watch Unorthodox and you can catch all of the stuff that we're missing out. But she is with Yankee, and Yankee is basically like, you know, you know, pouring his heart out. Like, you know, I miss you. I love you. Like, you know, I was unhappy, but you know, you are pregnant now. So everything changes. And like, you know, in Yankee's world, he's just like, we can be a family again.
Yeah.
Bryce,
can I ask you a question?
Yes.
At this scene, the climactic scene in the show, are you rooting for her to say yes and get back with Yankee?
So, I mean, to be honest, Akiva, I don't know, because I'm like, he loves her. Like, that's her husband. Mm-hmm. And you know me, listen, I can't get somebody to text me back consistently. Yeah. So, and my thing, I'm like, well, shoot, if you text him back right now, that was a hard scene for me, yeah, because I was
rooting for them, because I felt like they did a really interesting job. And I think he probably gets a better portrayal in the show than, I haven't read the book in a while, but like, I'm sure she, you know, she's probably tougher on him in the book or in real life if you were like her friend. Like, they do a very good job of going right down the middle, where it's like he never touches her, like he never hits her, he never goes too far, where you're like nervous maybe he would, but he's not, you know, Yankee's not Moishe, right? He's not like, he never does that one, like, yeah, maybe he speaks, like he's too aggressive there when she runs out of the house when she's about to tell him she has a baby, but like he never goes to like the point of no return. So I'm sort of rooting for them, even though deep down I know there's no way she's ever going to say yes, right?
But at the same time, it's like, you know, it's their family, your love. And like, you know, it's like they're back. She even goes to the hotel with him. And I'm like, ooh, wait a minute. And then then when he ran into that bathroom and then was like cutting his curls, I was just like, oh my God, like this is it. She going to get back with him. But to her point, like she stood strong and was like, I can't do it. Like, you know, I cannot go back. It's too late. And again, another thing that kind of like was kind of pushing me more to Etsy's side was that like he kept saying like, I thought something was wrong with you, but now that you have the baby, everything's okay. Like, you know, like still diminishing every mm-hmm. other, like, you know, still just saying like, well, you're not really a full person to me. Like, you're not really like, you know, you're really just, you can have kids so we can have kids. And so, but to Yankee's defense, like, that's what he's brought up in. Like, you know what I mean? That's all that he knows. And so, like, I don't fault him for that. Like you know what I'm saying? Like, I don't at all fault him for that.
And like, also, if he's a single dad in that world, like, at 20, it's like, well, what went wrong? And even if they blame the woman, it's like, well, he's a little bit damaged goods. Like, he was already only able to land. You talked about this, and it was a very astute point at the beginning. It's like, well, Esty's lucky she found any guy in that world, right? Because it's all about prestige. It's a lot of it's prestige and, like, you know, the richest or you know, forget about money even, like, the rabbi's children or, like, the most important people in the community. Like, those are their kids are the ones who are most, you know, the most eligible, let's say, people. So, like, for him to pull Esty, already, like, not ideal. So now he's in trouble, probably. He's thinking, like, oh, I'm going to be a single dad. And, like, what am I going to do for him, too? Like, oh, yeah, you probably, like, in that world might have to be a divorcee also. Like, you know, what, you know, other 19-year-olds are going to be like, all right, I want someone with a kid in Germany. So he's like, this is my Hail Mary pass, you know.
Right.
Like, he's desperate.
But at the same time, he's willing, I guess, from his point of view, like, I'm willing to, like, make it work. But Esty stands true to herself and, like, says no. And that's why I'm just like, yes, Esty. And then, like, she has this one last scene with Cousin Malik, but which is just, I at this point, I'm like, bye, Cousin Malik. And then, you know, it kind of ends off with Esty going to, like, the cafe where she originally met her love interest. And then, like, you know, just kind of sitting there and reflecting. And then here come her friends. Basically, like, there's Esty. And they're like, you know, that's the end of the series.
Who do you think she's waiting for there? Because they walk past her. They're clearly not going to see her, right? They wave and say hi. Is she waiting for her mom? Is she eating by herself? It looks like it's a table for two.
So I felt like this is the scene. This is the cafe where she met the guy with the coffee the first day in Germany. Mm-hmm. So I felt like she was probably going there for him.
Mm-hmm. Or like German Tinder. There's like a what's German Tinder called? I don't know.
I mean, yeah, but there's Alda. She had the new lipstick on and she was ready to go. But I just thought, like, this story was just so, I just don't know a lot about the community. And obviously, like, this, the hidden message, or not so much hidden, but obviously it's just like, you know, to fight for your freedom and to be your individual self so much, it just kind of, like, pulled on my heartstrings. I just got so much out of the story, and this, I was just like, oh, I was just so excited to be able to talk to you about this.
Yeah. I also, like, just to, you know, defend them a little bit, I do think it's like, well, this is sort of like the most interesting, maybe like egregious, or like, you know, type of example. Whereas, like, I'm sure 95% of the stories are just like, the husband's happy, the wife's happy, and you know, and they have lots of children, life goes on, and they're happy. So it's just like, it's very hard to leave, but not everybody wants to leave. Like,
right.
You know, if you speak to, if you spoke to like 10 Sommer people on the street, I'm sure, you know, 95% of them, I guess that would be 9.5 people. I don't know how that works. But, would be 19 out of 20 or even 99 out of 100 would be very happy. But, it's just like, how do you leave this thing that's so specific? And that, you know, and like you've been built for like one very specific life, and now you're going to like literally a whole new world.
Right. It was crazy. It's such a good watch. I definitely recommend anyone that, first of all, not anybody, because y'all all got time during this quarantine and chill, yep, to definitely check it out. Definitely an eye opener. And
this is not a quarantine and chill show, though.
you got to
read the
not.
Subtitles.
But no, for real, though. But after a while, though, I really felt like I did not need the subtitles, though. Seriously, yeah. By like episode 3, I didn't need the subtitles.
And it's funny, because she doesn't speak German, a lot of those scenes are in English, just because that's the common language with her and her buddies and stuff, right?
Right, and the friends. So there is English. But a lot of the times, I was just like, you know, eating my Cheetos. Like, I know what she's saying. I know what's going on. Like, I felt like I could kind of sort of get into it. So
absolutely.
I'm so excited. But thank you so much for wanting to come on and, like, you know, help me break unorthodox down, Akiva. I'm so honored.
Yeah, no, this was a blast. Thanks to Ali Lasher on Twitter with the idea, legend herself.
Yes.
And this was fun. And I hope, you know, maybe next, this is a home game for you. Next time we got to figure out a home game for me and Rob.
Absolutely. Come on. I was down for the freakiest freak bracket.
I know. Rob nixed it on the show. I said it. I had to run it by you first because we put it in the bracket. And then here's Rob's complaint. He said, I'm just going to hear about like 20, like the biggest deviants of all time. He thought it would just be like a bunch of sex freaks, and it would be like, you know, maybe more R-rated. Rob sometimes has PG-13 sensibilities.
Doesn't
he know
freakiest freaks is not have to really do.
It's what people wrote to him. I think you should talk to him. I think it's, okay, if freakiest freak isn't like crazy stuff, I think like kids. It's PG. I think we keep a PG-13 more than R.
Well, all right. Well, thank you so much.
Thanks so much, Bryce.
It's been an honor. Absolutely. And I will talk to you in the very near future. And we are back this week, and I'm so excited because I feel like we all are in need of some spiritual healing. So we are back this week with our Purple Pants Premonitions with none other than the one and only Gangsta Gurry.
I mean, I'm back again. Where else would I be, baby boy? Come on.
What's popping? What's going on? How are you holding up during this, you know, scary COVID-19 time?
Listen, everybody in Miss Rona is out here ravaging the girls, and I just have to, you know, stay inside my little bubble. I feel like the universe gave me a little bit of a blessing. Like, I've been in the house for like 9 months, like 10 months straight. So I was like, wow, this is just like adjusting to what my life has always been like, but in like the real world, you know? So it's very, very interesting to like see all of what's going on. Just been praying for like people, been doing a lot of work for like the collective as far as just like general healing and just really trying to be of support in whatever way that I can. I feel like that's what's been keeping me afloat, is like the idea of connection and community.
Definitely. And I feel like one thing that I feel like the Rona has really, or just in general, it's just that, like, we all are human. We all are immune to the same things. Like, we all bleed the same. And I think, like, hopefully this can bring somewhat of a camaraderie, a community to people that don't feel like they have a community. That, like, you know, we're all in this together. So what I was thinking for this week's Purple Pants Premonition is maybe you could talk to the cards and see about how we all can get through this, or what the cards say for us, that, you know, some support, some, you know, something for us.
Of course. So it's funny that you even asked that, and thank you for giving me the opportunity to do this. I've been doing a lot of reflection around what we should be doing as a collective. As we know, March was hella long. March was doing all the things, like, you know, the United States wanted to be like, we are in a pandemic. Like, it's just too much going on, right? And as we are starting to recognize, we're not going nowhere. Like, there was a question about, are we going to be doing things right now? Are things going to get back to normal? There is not going to be a new normal. So now, this is the opportunity for us to really plan and get intentional about what our personal new normal is. So I want you to take some time to reflect on, what are the things that make me? What are the things that make me unique? What are the things that, you know, make me really like weird and special? And how can I enhance that throughout any given week? So, like, I want to ask you a question. Did you notice any time, like, last week your energy was like a little low? Were you like over it last week?
Definitely.
Okay. So what I started to notice is, like, at a collective level, when you start talking about, like, your feelings and just, like, what you given and you real transparent about it, you start noticing other people may be feeling the same thing too, right? I think what we should be focusing on as a, you know, as a group, as people, as the human race, honestly, is just, like, how are we feeling? How do we connect with other people to recognize, like, are you experiencing some of the same things that I'm experiencing right now? What is that giving you? And how can we do something together to switch this up? We've been doing a lot of, like, this internal work. Some people going crazy. My extroverts out there are tripping, okay? Mm-hmm. They are tripping. Can't go to the bar, can't go to the club, can't get your hair cut, because I know I'm struggling with my... Ooh, child.
Listen, don't even get me started. These braids didn't cut... Listen, these braids up on my head.
Listen, over it. I'm like, why can't I do anything that I feel like I need to do right now? So it's like, well, what can I... Ooh.
Here's your reminder.
Look at this reminder.
Okay. Yeah, bro, it...
Listen, Miss Ramonda wanted to come through.
Listen to the universe. Okay, what is the universe telling us?
Here's your reminder. Hot girl.
Ooh, hot girl.
Hot girl. Okay.
Ooh, it's time for you to be a hot girl.
Listen, you ain't got to tell me twice.
Ah, that's so funny that that would come on at that time. This is called future planning, and I feel like that actually goes perfectly in line with what we should be doing. What is your schedule? What do you know works for you, and how can you incorporate things into your life that will remind you at the time that you know you necessarily need it? So this is a perfect reminder. I was like, it's going to be a hot girl summer. It is going to be a hot girl summer, but it's going to be a different type of hot girl summer this year, because everybody's going to be so focused on themselves that they're not necessarily going to be worried about how everybody else is doing stuff. You know, we are so focused on how we cute, how we making shit shake. And it's all about getting the first steps laid down, the foundation of whatever it is you're working on, but not getting overwhelmed. So the two cards that come out, the Hermit in reverse and the Father of Pentacles in reverse. So both of these cards together, it's all about knowing that internal fire right now, you know exactly what you need to be working on. You know exactly what it is that's been giving you a little bit of life, a little bit of just like, yo, I should really put some more time into this. For me, it was writing for public consumption. And it was like, well, how can I make time to write for other people? How can I make time to really just put into sharing my stories? And I had to figure out what my internal schedule was like. For me, I mean, Wednesdays, I don't do anything because it's Survivor Wednesdays, and I have to have that whole day free. And sometimes other people may not understand that, but it's like you have to make your own schedule for you and figure out what works. During the day, since you've been working from home a little bit more, how has your schedule shifted up recently? Has it been for the better, been worse, or what do you think that's been like?
I think for me, it's been kind of like a status quo, because like you said before, I, you know, the last couple of months, the majority of my work that I do is home. So like Monday through Friday, my schedule is basically I'm at home. So I have noticed that I tend to be a lot more productive in the afternoon. Like the morning times are very like, but then come 1, 2, 3, 4 o'clock, I get this burst of energy. I want to get things done. I want to accomplish things. And then, you know, the nighttime, you know, I'm watching a movie, going to sleep. But my mornings, definitely, I can't seem to like really get a hold of like getting up, being productive, and taking advantage of this morning that I have.
And is it just like right now you have a specific schedule you have to follow in the morning? Or do you feel like you have a little bit more openness to make it what you want it to be?
So, I mean, I have a specific schedule, but I would really like it to be more like I have a hard time motivating myself. For instance, like I was like sharing with you last time, like I have not had the energy, the motivation to go running. And I love to go running. And it's just like things like that. Like, I don't want to work out. I don't want to. Sometimes I'm like non, I don't know if there's a word, though, but communicative. Like, I don't really want to communicate with a lot of people, even though I want to communicate. But I just don't have the drive, or I just don't have the like, ugh, I can't give it my all right now.
I completely understand that. And you know what? That's okay. But I want you to figure out, when are those moments where you're having that? I feel like this is something we're all being asked to figure out. Like, what are those things that make us tick? And how do we speak ourselves through these times where we feel resistance? Because resistance is everywhere. But it's all about knowing that, you know, you've gone inside your turtle shell, as I like to say, long enough at this point to know how you can dip and dodge the bullshit. So it's about talking yourself through these situations and like setting up a schedule so that way it does work for you, and like letting certain people know, this is how I operate and this is what I may need at this very moment in time. Please, can you give me this space? Can you give me this time in order to be able to just like hear me out? I feel like that's something that we struggle with a lot of times, to just be like, yo, I got some shit going on. I don't feel my best, but I'm still going to push through. It can ease up a lot for you. And then when you do have moments where you can get up, maybe not every day during the week going running, but maybe like once during the week, maybe once right. on the weekend, breaking it up. So that way you can start building stamina for whatever it is that you're working towards. And as you're starting to figure out what stamina you're building, you'll start to be able to talk more about this probably with people around you sometime like next week. So a couple of the things we have coming up astro-wise on Monday, April the 6th, we are going to be seeing the moon going void right before it goes into Libra. The full moon is going to be happening in Libra on the 7th. So the full moon in Libra is all about like that balance. So like what things feel balanced, what things feel out of balance. How do you love on yourself? How do you show up your best self? And I feel like this is a perfect time because we're in the middle of this Aries season where it's given very hot fire. It was a slow start, but I feel like maybe over like the last like couple of days specifically, you've been feeling like that energy pick up, right? This is very much like, all right, you're starting to notice, I'm starting to get some more clarity around what's next, how I best serve myself. You said perfectly, hey, I feel this energy in the afternoon, so this is when I work best. You got to prepare yourself in the morning with a little nappy nap, or, you know, a little coffee, a little run, whatever. You can switch your schedule up every single day and then figure out what works best for you. And then I think by the time the 11th comes, this is going to be next Saturday as it stands right now. That's going to be the time for you to be like, okay, these things worked. This shit didn't. What do I know works already? And how do I make that better? And how do I let go of the stuff that didn't? We love to get really hard on ourselves. And that's not what we're doing right now. We have to caress ourselves and nurture ourselves because we know best how. You know, you've had some time to really think about like, yo, I be talking mad shit to my spirit. This is not the time to do that. You know best for you. So it's all about that preparation right now. What are the three things that I can focus on one at a time? And I think that as long as you are focusing on how I make my money, how I fill my spirit, and how I am doing something for like my physical body, whether it's eating healthy, whether it's, you know, cooking for yourself, because I know a lot of people got to cook right now. A lot of people got to cook, child. Okay. Tired of cooking. But it's like the intention behind everything that we do right now, spiritually, mentally, like emotionally, is very important. So that way, when you can go outside, you get to appreciate it that much more.
Yes.
So, in addition, the Hermit is all about just like meditation. I don't know if you've been meditating, what it means to meditate for you. It's all about knowing that in those moments where you give yourself space, you bring wisdom to yourself. You're becoming more self-aware. So think about the ways that you have seen yourself become self-aware over the last 3 months, because we've had a lot of things happen since the beginning of this year. Like, child, Kobe died. Like, come on. Like, that's how the year started. We started off with talks of war. We start off with just so many different things happening. And when we think about that, we have to give these moments time and be like, well, who was I then? Who am I now? And know that you've grown a lot. So being grateful for that. And then with the Father of Pentacles, this comes up in addition. The Father of Pentacles is all about being domestic, being entrepreneurial, and being steady. So have you been steady lately? Has your spirit been steady? And if it has not been, what do you need to do in order to make it such? This is somebody who can be very calm, but being transparent. If you're lacking transparency over the next couple of weeks, ask yourself, why is that? And then figure out how you become more passionate, how you prioritize your stability, so that way you can see yourself going in the direction that is better for you and makes you feel more at ease. And then it talks about being entrepreneurial in some sense. So how are you diligent in the things that you know you need to be doing? Where have you been slacking? Where can you be honest about that? And where have you been slacking on self-care? Have you been slacking on self-care recently?
I've been like 50-50. You know, I definitely could do a lot more. I definitely let this quarantine conundrum kind of get the best of me, eating and watching TV. Although I feel like that is self-care. That's not the self-care that I really want to be focusing on. I want to be focusing on like the embetterment of like, you know, my enterprise, the betterment of my health, the embetterment of my weight, the embetterment of like what my future is. And it's like, I know I have that there, but I just feel like, oh, we in a quarantine. Let me pop some popcorn and eat some juice. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I can't, like, it's hard. And I try to give myself, like, it's okay. You don't have to be so hard on yourself. Like, you know, but I really do want to move forward in things that I know are goals for myself.
Mm. It's funny that you say that because the Seven of Cups talks about illusion and deception. So what are the Decepticons in your life that make you think you're moving forward? And what are the things that are actually illusions towards your greatness? Like, how can you be even more realistic with yourself and assess everything and be like, yo, like, and I feel like after this full moon in Libra comes up, it'll be a little bit easier for you. And you'll start talking about it as, I believe it's Mercury is going to go into Aries. So the way that we communicate, we're going to be a lot more open. You're going to see a lot more people talking their shit. Instagram Live is going to be popping like crazy even more because you see everybody be on Instagram Live these days. Everybody's on Instagram Live these days. But I feel like it's going to be more about sharing like what we are experiencing and how we're becoming better. Not just these fitness challenges that you're seeing people hop on. Ooh, girl. But the Seven of Cups is not the most welcome card. It talks about temptation in many aspects of your life, whether it's cheating for pleasure or for money. You'll soon realize you've been building a house of cards. You may feel as though you can't see clearly, can't judge right from wrong or up from down. This is the spell of the Seven of Cups. It's best to remove yourself for a while. Step back until you can see straight again. So what do you need to remove yourself from over the next, we'll say 2 to 3 weeks, so that way you can start looking towards the direction of growth, of being steady, of having that shit together and knowing that success comes not just from like the monetary, it comes from the idea of building yourself up from the bottom. And that's in all aspects. How do you speak to your whole spirit over the next couple of weeks? And how do you stay intentional about it is the main message. That sound like something you can do, child?
I mean, I think so. But see, so this is something like, so let me know if this sounds. So would you say like, for me, that would like, I feel like something that would get me on course is if like I could start like eating like healthy again. Mm-hmm. Like mind you, I got my meal preps. If I were to like start utilizing my meal preps, I really feel like that would be a step in the right direction that would like then focus me like, okay, but you eating right? Yes. Now then it would be like, okay, we could start our workouts. Mm-hmm. We could start getting our daily planning in. I feel like it would be a trickle effect. And so that's where I feel like if I am like putting the right things in my body, feeding my mind, body, and soul correctly, not just Doritos and Sprites and Skittles, I really feel like it could help motivate me.
Yes. And I feel like, all right, so I have a question. Back when you were eating differently, did you feel yourself thinking differently? What were you doing?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Like, I feel like, what would I say? Like, so, I want to make this all about my weight, but my, I fluctuate. Like, at times, I can be snizzatched, like, you know, and I always feel like my best and my confident. But then, you know, other times, I'm not so snatched. I'm a little more pudgier, but it's okay because, you know, the boys love me, BBW. But I'm not happy. I'm not like where I want to be. So it's a constant like inner struggle. So when I am like feeling my personal best, not to what other people see me, other people are like, oh, you're fine. But like, right. I can't go by that. I have to go by how I feel. And I feel like if I am in a better place, if I am feeling healthy, if I'm feeling like I'm, you know, beaming, then it puts me in a better place. And I think of more positive things. I think of like, oh, what I can do for myself, and I'm just in a different mind space.
Right, and it's like you think about what you were feeding your spirit with, not just like the food, but also like what were you reading? What were you doing more at that time when you were eating healthy and when you were meal prepping and stuff like that? So it's like getting back to that space and reminding yourself what you were doing, like at that very moment in time, and how you can start incorporating those things back into your life. Not heavily, like you ain't got to go crazy with it. It's just like starting small and like reminding yourself, well, when I was meal prepping, I felt like this. I was doing this and this allowed me to be able to do X. Now that you're older, because I mean, we all get older as every day goes by, you're wiser. How do you use that wisdom knowing that, hey, this helped keep me grounded. Let me see if I can try this again and see if it starts to bring that old thing back. It's all about giving yourself a start. And that could be the key to things opening up for you. So the advice cards here, we have boundaries in reverse, divinity, and the earth card in reverse. So these cards coming up together is just like, you know that you have not been grounding yourself and you've been letting some of your like personal boundaries just sit by the wayside. Why is that? Asking yourself that question, like, why have I not been keeping myself like as disciplined as I know that I can? And giving yourself a little bit of time to be like, okay, like, I understand where I was coming from, but now I'm going to do better. Sometimes we get so caught up on like what we should have been doing and we let that energy seep through us and allow it to kind of like push us towards the negative when it's just like, nah, that's how I felt yesterday. That's what was going on then. Next time it comes up, if I can't do it today, cool. But what can I do in replacement? It's all about having things to go to that you know will be just as good. So like if you can't meal prep or you don't want to do it the same way, what is something else you can do that's healthy for you if you don't have the time to be able to cook like that?
Child, I don't know, because Uber Eats don't be helping. Okay?
That's where you need to start, okay? Is maybe just like, you know, grabbing a little salad, you know, a little salad mix, whatever from the grocery store, throwing that into, you know, just like your general routine. Maybe it's just how you are spending time in your naps. Listen, I call throwing up a little like gang sign during like a little meditation. You know, they call mudras, how you put your hands into just certain hand positions to receive different types of energy. So it helps calm me. I'll get into a nap, put my hand in that symbol, and that's my way of like meditation, you know? Wow. It's just like giving myself those moments of the day where I'm like, well, I'm gonna do two things at once, but the intention behind this is what matters.
So it's funny that you say that, because when I actually, because first of all, I love a good afternoon nap between mm-hmm. like 2 and mm-hmm. like 5 o'clock, baby. Mm-hmm. And what I do love about my naps are that, one, I just love naps. But a lot of the times before, like while I'm napping, like just laying in my bed with my eyes closed, I really try to think of positive things. I really try to like put positive energy into other people. I really try to like problem. It's very similar to when I am like running. Mm-hmm. A lot of the time when I'm running, I'm like not, I wouldn't say a state of euphoric, but I feel like when I'm running, I can see everything that's in my mind and I can like disseminate what I need to work on, or I can like problem solve. And so I feel like napping for me is like a way of me like putting positive energy. I can like, you know, oh, you know, I hope my friends stay healthy. Mm-hmm. I hope that like, you know, this job comes through. I really want to work on me being not so petty and really me allowing things to roll off my back mm-hmm. instead of me holding grudges. Like these are like constant things that I say while I'm napping. It's like almost like positive affirmations that I try to put out there. I really, really do. I don't know how good my follow through is, but like I really do like those things come to my mind, and that's what I kind of like think about before I like nap.
Mm-hmm. And that's that is one, a form of meditation, and two, I also think that's a form of manifesting. And a lot of people may not recognize like those moments of just like passing thoughts and giving those moments like time, and then just knowing there's certain things that we think about that may come into our awareness that's for our positive, for our future, and for the future of other people around us, and sending that love and sending that healing energy to those things, like that's manifesting. That's what that is at the very core. So it's like if you can think about these moments where you're doing that, that's productive. A lot of people don't think about resting as working, and that sometimes resting is the hardest job to do.
Okay.
Listen, and the other thing about you knowing the times of the day that you love a good nap, stick to those, because that's going to be really helpful for you when you get into that own business that you've been really trying to run, child. Mm. Okay? It's a whisper. But no, this is about you figuring out the things that get you grounded over the next couple of weeks, figuring out what boundaries you have been letting slip and how you kind of like get yourself back in line. It's like, sit your ass down and get back in line. Like that's really what it's giving, but also being gentle with yourself and figuring out who has the keys around you to assist in that, because we can't do it alone. The abundance is not a solo thing. It's by you knowing yourself and then also allowing other people to see that same version of you, so that way they can speak to the things that you need. You know, it's all about knowing that balance. But sometimes we get a little lost in that because of everything going on in our lives. But this is the perfect time for you to spend some time connecting with other people who got the same things going on as you. And I bet you'll start noticing when you start opening more up about things you're thinking about, somebody else around you that's thinking the same thing too. Mm. So
that is true.
That is my suggestion, child.
Well, I got you giving me so much homework to do.
Listen, I tweeted that early today. I was like, if you don't like journal prompts, I ain't the right person for you.
Yes, and mind you, oh, this is what I wanted to tell you. The other day, I think it was last week. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it was like Thursday or Friday when you did a workshop on IG Live. Mm-hmm. Yeah, come on. I was right there. Listen, I was doing my work.
Yes. Oh, when I was doing the new moon manifestation.
Yes.
Yes. Oh, I love being able to like do stuff like that because I'm always in here here, like, I don't know if people recognize or realize, like, I be here ripping and running. I'm like, I'm running a whole corporation out of here. So it's like I'm building things, writing things out. If you saw my room, I have, like, all of my dreams, like, taped up around me in different
ways.
That's
what I need. That's what I need to do. Like, and I've been working on, like, my room is pretty plain. It's just, like, my bed. I have, like, a nightstand and, like, a dresser and a TV because I wanted just a nice, plain room. But I really, that's so crazy that you've been set, like, that you just said that because I really have been... Like, again, I believe in manifestation. I believe in, like, speaking things into existence. I believe in, like, surrounding yourself with, like, positive, like, affirmations. And mm-hmm. so, like, I've been wanting something, like, either behind my bed or I have, like, a really huge window in my room. Mm-hmm. I really want to do something like a dream catcher where I already have... Like, not necessarily a dream catcher, but I have, like, what's that? Fishing rod? Not fishing rod, What do you fish with? Fishing?
The line? Child.
The line. And so, like, I have, like, some cute little drapes in my room that are, like, pitch black. Because, mind you, I'm about to tell you a story in the story. So, I have, like, pitch black drapes in my room because a lot of the times I'm like, oh, it's too sunny. Let me put these drapes up so that when I get home from work, when I was, like, going outside, mm-hmm. it would be dark in my room so that I can get rest. However, I've since, like, pulled them back. I've, like, opened up my blinds. And, like, I leave my windows, like, not open, but I want the sunlight in as much as possible because mm-hmm. I realize like vitamin D is like very good for you. Both of them. I just want, like, you know, more of that energy to ray on me. But I was, like, thinking, like, you know what? Maybe let me just write down ideas or things I want to do. And I can maybe, like, tape them to that rod mm-hmm. and tape them to my curtains and just have that energy hit the light and flow through me because I really feel like that could be something super positive.
Yes. And it's just, like, the fact that you even, like, because as soon as you started saying, like, fishing line, I was like, of course, because you're a Pisces. So you would like anything that has to do with, like, the water and makes it seem like waves and stuff like that in your room, like the waves are coming to you. So I think that that's actually perfect. And you already know that when you be in the shower, you be doing some of your best thinking too. So it's all about you getting to the water, like the water.
The bath.
Listen, I know you be getting it in because I be right there with you, child. The water sign link up. So it's like you using those times, like, I don't know if I ever told you, but, like, I have, like, as you see, I had a Miss Alexa going off in the background.
Mm-hmm.
I have one of those in my bathroom, too. So that way, during my baths, if I have a wonderful idea come in, I have a recording for it. And I, like, think about it in the future. So it's all about, like... Some of your best ideas and some of your best motivations come in. What?
See, you're really speaking to me because I can't tell you how many times that, you know, the spirit follow me, you know, when I'm with the spirit, that I get a great idea and I forget it. Or, like, you know, there's something that pops into my mind that I'm like, bitch, that is really good. You should. Mm-hmm. And then I just let the spirit take it away. And that is really good. Maybe I need to, like, keep, like, maybe little notepads or something in every one of my, or something that I need to do a better job of recording my thoughts.
Yeah. And I was about to say, like, do it in an authentic way to you. I think a lot of times people try to do stuff that they see other folks do. Like, I'm a huge proponent of journaling and it's helpful, but that may not work for everybody. Some of y'all like to hop on TikTok and make you a little something like this what happened today and do a little dance with it. But it's just about you making sure that you have something to go back to because you never know when it could come in handy.
It's right.
Intention, I swear. Like, if I didn't have some of these things set up the way that I did, because my mind be ripping and running like, child, it'd be like a little bull and a little, you know, like a little man doing a little ole, ole. And it's just like everything just going around here. But I'm like, I have to figure out how it works for me. And these things work. So figure out your juice, your lane. And you know what? Things will pop off.
Right. Can we just pause for 1 second? Hold on. Let me just write this time down. 26, 22. Because I have a feeling this is going to be my job. Hold on.
Mm-hmm.
Keystone first.
Hi, good morning. May I speak to Bryce?
This is Bryce.
Hi, I'm Mary Bell. I'm calling from Eastern
Healthcare. Hi, how are you? I'm in the middle of a conference. Can you please call me back at 12 o'clock?
Sure.
Thank you.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Child, I lost my train of thought. I was just saying.
I know, I'm sorry.
Blessings, child, but no, we're just gonna say keep focusing on whatever it is that you need to do in order to gain your divinity right now, and whatever it is that you have to set in place to remember things and, you know that you are going on your proper path, just do it.
Yes, I love it. Is that it for us for this week's Purple Pants Premonitions?
I feel like coming up, just as a little reminder, a little wrap up, pay attention to what's going on with you guys on the 11th. So that's going to be Saturday, April 11th. Also, what happens between April, February. I don't know why I'm in February. April 7th to April 11th, what are some of the things that you start creating? How do you kind of like let go of old things and start some new stuff up? And then by the time we get to the new moon, things are going to be real hot. Things going to be real hot. So let's just go ahead and get ready to get grounded. Boom.
Yes. All right. Well, I don't know whether or not the Purple Pants Posse got something out of this, but I sure did. Okay. I'm over here taking notes because I don't know whether or not it's like reassuring or I just need to hear someone that I feel like understands me on a different level that can really kind of like speak to my soul. And so that's why I appreciate you so much. I really be having you on here for selfish reasons because I feel like this is my, like, you know, my spiritual time to kind of get connected. But thank you so much. But yes, but before we go, where can people find you at? Just in case it's the first time they're listening to the Purple Pants Premonitions.
Yes, you can find me over at Gangsta Guri, Gangsta with an A, because we don't do that ER Buster shit over here. Guri with two R's, gangstaguri.me. Is my website. I just opened my books back up for readings in the month of April. So yes, I'm taking on new people, got a lot of new things I'm opening up. You can find me on Patreon. Patreon's where I do specific things for my patrons, bring them a little special something, a little more, you know, connected to me, a little more personal. You know how that goes.
Yeah.
You can find me on Instagram, Twitter, and we can, you know, make it rock. Be cute together.
Yes. Well, thank you so much, Gangsta Guri, and we will see you in 2 weeks.
You are a blessing. Thank you so much, friend.
All right. Bye.
Bye.
Yes. I hope you guys enjoyed this week's meat and potatoes. Oh, meat and potatoes. Oh, I had so much fun recording this week's menu with Jack, Akiva, and Gangsta Guri. I really hope that you guys enjoyed that. Now, let's keep the menu rolling. Let's get into the Purple Pants Picks. You pick, I say. It's the Purple Pants Picks. Hey, you guys should know this by now, but listen, I'm going to say it like it's a recording. It's the Purple Pants Picks. It's one of my favorite segments of this podcast. Every week, Friday or Saturday, I will post to my Instagram or the Purple Pants Podcast Instagram. I will post a story with some Purple Pants pants, and I will say Purple Pants Picks, drop some topics, and you can pick topics. Anything that's on your mind that you want to hear your baby boy talk about, we could talk. So let's get right into the Purple Pants Picks. I've got Jonathan Rose 10. He writes, "What does this podcast mean to you? You seem a lot happier and confident since starting the podcast." Oh, thank you, baby boy. So I think this podcast means a lot to me. It is definitely a way for me to express myself in a way that I have not been able to express myself. And it truly means the world to me. Like, you know, there's not a day that goes by that I don't see something or hear something that I'm like, ooh, how can I incorporate that onto the Purple Pants podcast? So I love it. And I love the support and I love the feedback, good, bad, ugly. I love to hear from the Purple Pants posse. I love when you guys tweet, you DM me, you email me. I love it. I mean, listen, we go together. So that's a real thing. About, you know, you seem a lot happier and you seem more confident. I don't know, Jonathan. I've always been this upbeat and I've always been this snappy. So, and confident. I just think that this Purple Pants podcast gives me more of a current voice. So I think that you get, I'm allowing you more into my life. So I think that you just get to see that a little bit more. Because listen, it's been a baby boy since third grade. What's up? But no, it's definitely like I can say the Purple Pants podcast gives me an outlet to be honest. I am definitely like very, very honest and very open with you guys. And I think that it's mutual. I feel like that I share a lot with you guys and I get a lot back from you. So, but thank you so much, Jonathan. I really appreciate that. Then we have Matt S. He writes, "A couple named their newborn twins Corona and COVID. Do you think this is in poor taste?" I know some people that named their kids Hennessy. So, I mean, I don't know whether or not it's in poor taste, but I don't know. Like, I definitely think that, like, this is a pandemic, and I definitely think this is something that will go down in the world history, that kids will be learning about this from 100 years from now. So I definitely, when those kids get older, like, I don't really think that, like, you know, hey, COVID, like, you know, Corona, like, first of all, I know some people named Corona. So Corona ain't that bad, but COVID, like, I don't really know. Like, this is definitely, like, you know, not the best time, in our universe. So, I mean, to each his own. I don't have no kids. I can't tell nobody how to raise and name their kids. So if that's what you, you know, if that's what you want to do. But I mean, listen, if they was my niece and nephew, Corona would be named Roro, and COVID would be named Coco. That those would be the nicknames that I will call them if they were related to me. So I'm gonna just keep it like that. And then, hey, it's Emma writes, any conspiracy theories that you've heard? So a lot of conspiracy theories are definitely with like everything that's going on, has been happening around, but there's one conspiracy theories that I've been hearing a lot. I don't know if you guys been hearing it, with the 5G. There's like this conspiracy theory about that, like, you know, since a lot of the new cell phone networks have launched the 5G, that they feel like that is really what's causing the coronavirus, and that they feel like a lot of high ranking officials are hiding the fact. There's a lot of like footage on the Instagram. I know like my friend E. Burials, I know Rodney LaVoy Jr., they be sending me a lot of the stuff. And I mean, I find that stuff interesting. I don't know whether or not I buy into it. I definitely don't like discard it like it's trash, but I don't know whether or not I buy into it. But my method that I like to think of is like, I just like to take in information, and I will like, you know, whether or not it's true or not, I just like to take in information, and that way I am kind of like knowledgeable about it. But like, if you guys have not heard it, like, you know, hashtag 5G on like Twitter or Instagram, and you'll see a lot of these videos of like a lot of these people talking about like what the 5G like network is doing to like the trees and the bodies, and what they think about how they feel like. And like, I was watching one of these videos, and they were saying that like every time the networks have launched like the 2G, the 3G, there has been some type of like virus or pandemic that has like followed through. And it kind of like does, like, you know, I do be like, I mean, the timelines don't lie. So that's definitely a conspiracy theory that I've heard, and definitely like, you know, I haven't read a lot about it, but I've definitely watched a lot of videos about it. So, I mean, if you guys are into that type of thing, just like type in the hashtag and, you know, let me know what you think, or let me know if you believe in that conspiracy theory, like tweet me and let me know. Then I also have, who we got? I have Die123 writes, okay, this one a little good one. She writes, is threesomes healthy for a relationship? Well, baby, I don't know. I'm not in a relationship, so I don't know. So I would have to say that, I mean, again, to each his relationship. Like, you know, some relationships, they not built for that. Some relationships, they like to spice it up. So I definitely think that it is a, for each relationship. You know, me being a openly black gay man, I definitely think on the side of like, you know, a lot of the times I find that like gay men kind of like put their relationships into like heterosexual normacies. And so that's sometimes I believe like a lot of like gay relationships fails. Like, I don't feel like we can put our relationship to the standards of like heterosexuals. I feel like we need to build our own standards and like create our own relationships. But I feel like that is the same for like any relationship. I feel like you have to build your own relationship. You can't go off of like what your mom and dad and your grandparents, like, we're living in 2020. We living in like, you know, very strange times. So I'm not a prude and I wouldn't turn my nose up to it, but I definitely think it's something that both parties would have to agree to. And that like, yeah, so I mean, I don't think nothing wrong with spicing it up, but I definitely think there is a time and a place. And you know, some people it's just not for, some people it might be for. So I mean, I don't know, like, it's to each his own. Like, you know, that's something that you have to figure out for yourself and your relationship. But I'm not in a relationship right now, so I mean, I can't really answer that. But I probably would have to probably lean to the side and no, because ain't nobody touching my man, okay? So because we gonna have to fight. Okay, so, but that's just me, but I don't know. Yeah. Okay. We got another one. We got another one from E. Nikki B. 24 writes, would you ever date a coworker? Now that's a good one. And I know a lot of people that have met at work, and I know a lot of people that do date coworkers. I think a lot of us spend a lot of our time, well, not now, but at work. And that's a lot of the times like where a lot of people meet people. So I think like, yeah, I would date a coworker if they was cute and looked all right. I know a lot of jobs, some jobs have policies like where you can't date coworkers. And so you have to be more, you know, strategic about how you go about that. But definitely, I feel like anywhere that you can meet somebody, you should be able to date them. You know, maybe your church, you know, maybe, you know, the mosque, maybe the corner store. I've had a story where, oh my God, my friend Sarah always tells me, like, I meet the most randomest, like, people. Random story about me. When I first moved out into my apartment. Probably like one of my first serious relationships. I was like, literally one night, there was like a Chinese store by my house. And like one night I was like, you know, baby boy was a little hungry. So I went to go to the Chinese store, and I had met a young fella there, like random. And mind you, I looked a mess. I had like a hoodie on and whatever. And we kind of sort of started talking, and then we exchanged numbers, and like we dated for a period of time. So, I mean, I feel like you can meet people anywhere. And I feel like, first of all, I feel like the new place to meet people is the club grocery store, because that's where everybody be at. But miss me with that, because I, mind you, there's like stories upon stories about stories about stories. But when I had to go to the grocery store, I've been trying to go at night, because there's a grocery store. It's called Fresh Grocer. I'm not sure if there's like chains out wherever they're chains, but it's a 24-hour grocery store. So a lot of the time, like, there are people, like the staff member is there stocking, but there isn't a lot of people. And so I'm trying to like literally distance myself from people. So I have gone shopping at night, literally like 2:30 in the morning, get up and just go grocery shopping, because it kind of like cuts down on like the long lines, and like you can kind of sort of get in, get out. Now, mind you, they don't have a lot, but they have the essentials that I need. And then we have Nasir.Holiday writes Tiger King 2.0. So, yes, I think, what's his name? Jeff Lowe. First of all, Jeff Lowe is on Cameo. Who is buying a Cameo from Jeff Lowe from Tiger King? But they did announce, somebody tweeted me this as well, too, but that they are coming out with a final episode, just an episode of The Tiger King, I guess, since the response, and, you know, since Miss Carol Baskin. So they are going to be, like, doing a final episode to kind of sort of, like, wrap things up and do a kind of, like, where are they now and, like, what are things doing? Because I think Jeff Lowe is still that zoo that he was building in The Tiger King, I believe it's open and running. And so people have been there. So they are doing that. So I think that will be interesting. I think it's coming out this Friday. So, you know, listen, baby boy is going to be on it. Okay. So I will report back to the Purple Pants posse. And that is going to conclude the Purple Pants picks this Saturday or Friday. I don't know, depending on what I'm doing. I will post up a new story to my Instagram. So make sure if you want to get some Purple Pants picks in, please let me know what you want me to talk about. And I got you. Now let's keep this party moving. We're going to go to Advice with Bryce. Now, I got a really good Advice with Bryce this week. Ooh, I love it. Hi, Bryce. Let me start by saying one of the biggest silver linings of being quarantined is getting to reconnect with my family and friends. I have loved getting to Zoom with my brothers and sisters all across the country, get drunk, play Cards Against Humanity online, seeing my nieces and nephews over FaceTime more frequently, and even getting to see my coworkers. But I've also had to work for the last decade plus. I'm also in my mid to late 20s or early 30s, LOL, to set boundaries and try to let go of my relationships that don't help me on my journey. The setup. I have a friend group from high school that consists of myself and four other girls. Over the years, we've gotten together periodically, brunch to catch up. Sometimes we'll even see each other a few times a year. Sometimes it's been a few years between the get together. This past summer, one of the girls got married and we all got to hang out at the wedding. This story is already getting super long, so let me cut to the chase. Something just was off. The vibe was wrong. I left the wedding feeling upset. I can't even put my finger on why, but I felt like an insecure 16-year-old version of myself. The bride has no idea about this. The problem. This morning, I wake up to a group chat on Instagram. They want to have a virtual brunch. I get that in this corona time, we need to reach out and connect with others. But this instantly gave me massive anxiety. I'm panicked. We're all quarantined inside, so I don't really have a good excuse. How can I get out of this? Should I just be a big girl and do it? Help, Allie. Thanks, Allie, for the submission. I think this is like so in line with, you know, the theme of this podcast, which is the new normal. So I definitely think that, like I was saying before in my church announcements, that we are hard on ourselves. And I think that we don't need to be this hard on ourselves. So number one, If you don't want to attend the virtual brunch, baby girl, you don't have to attend it. Just because we are quarantined and at home, it does not mean that our lives stop. It does not mean that you do not have to worry about the things that are going on in your life. And, you know, your weekends are your weekends. And if you want to be a weekend to yourself, I am fully here for that. So I definitely think that, you know what, you can let the group know that unfortunately, like, you will not be attending, and, like, you know, let me know if there is another time that I can attend. I'm fully here for that. Your time is your time, no matter if we're quarantined or not. I feel like where we're at today, we should not be doing things that we don't want to do. Now, in that same breath, Allie, I will say that if these are have been your friends since high school, and that when you left that wedding, you felt like an insecure 16-year-old, I do feel like that is work that you need to do on yourself to figure out, like, what that issue was. And I also feel like if they are your friends, then I do feel like when you are ready, that you should probably reach out to who or whatever upsets you and address that. Because obviously, like, you know, you care about them, you love them and want to support them. But obviously, like, you know, what I got from that email is that, like, you saying it's too soon. If, like, the moment that you opened it and got anxiety, like, we not doing this. We got anxiety enough about the Rona outside. I don't need my friends giving me anxiety. You know what I'm saying? Like, you have your support system, your real family and friends that are in your life. Like, you know, that's what you have to cater to. However, I do feel like, you know, these are members of your extended family and they are important as well. So I do feel like you should address the issue at some point in time when you're ready to address it. But if you feel like it is too soon, then babe, it ain't no Zoom for you. Okay. Listen, you doing already Zoom with your families, playing cards and humanity. Don't feel that added pressure and don't be hard on yourself. And again, I always say this to my Purple Pants posse, give yourself a ring, put yourself first. Like, you know what, put your feelings first. And you're putting yourself first by saying, like, you know what, I don't want to participate in this right now. It don't mean that you don't love them. It don't mean that you don't care about them, but, you know, it is taking time for yourself and there's nothing wrong with that. But at some point in time, you will have to address this issue. So I definitely think that it's important for you, Allie, to think about, like, what the issue was, what made you feel that way, and for you to really work on that, because so that you can explain to them, or maybe it's one of the members of the group, or maybe it's somebody else. But, like, I definitely think that it's important for you to address it at some point in time to mend that friendship. So absolutely, you don't have to go, you don't got to participate. Let them know, like, you know, whatever you need to say, you can say it simply and say, like, hey guys, I'm not going to be able to attend the Zoom meeting, have fun, I'll talk to you soon, something cute like that. You don't need no explanations, no nothing like that. But, like, you know, in the future you will need to address that. So I really hope that helps, Allie, and thanks for writing in. And if you guys have any quarantine questions or any friend questions, relationship questions, anything under the sun, you know your baby boy is here to help. Just shoot me an email at purplepantspodcast@gmail.com, and you know your baby boy got you. And what a great way to segue into this week's Barb's message. So without further ado, my mom, who happened to FaceTime me like 8 times today to tell me she was taking out some frozen chicken for dinner. Okay, girl, how was the chicken? But here is my mom with this week's Barb's message.
Hi there. This is Miss Barb, and today I'm asking each and every one of you for a favor. As we all have been asked to self-quarantine during this pandemic, I'm asking each person listening to reach out every day and call, not text, a family member or a friend and ask them how they are feeling this day. Let them know you are thinking about them and praying for their well-being. And as they respond to you, listen very carefully to their tone of voice and their words. If you hear fear, encourage them. Reassure them that they are not alone, and soon this will end. I'm certain that by the end of this conversation, the both of you will feel so much better. In times such as this, we must reach out to one another and spread the love. I love you, and hang in there, because we will get through this.
And that's this week's Barb's message. And as you know, my mom loves to hear the feedback from them. So if you like this message, let us know, tweet us, and I will definitely forward the message on to Miss Barb. Now, on to the freak of the week. So y'all know how this go, Purple Pants Posse. I was just minding my business, watching a little unorthodox, chilling in the bed, scrolling through the Instagram. And listen, I came across, whew, Chile, baby boy Jay Starrett's Instagram. Now, you know Jay Starrett, he was on Survivor Season 33. You know, he was on X on the Beach 2. And now he's on MTV The Challenge that comes on Wednesday nights, 8 p.m. He, baby boy, okay, Jay been doing some workouts. He posted this photo this Sunday and said, I could get used to this quarantine prison workout slash tan regimen. Who's thirsty? And baby boy, now mind you, Jay's always been fit, but I don't know what Jay been doing lately, because it looked like them pecs, they look all right. And it looks like he's holding some, you know, them water containers that you see at the office that you get from the water filling. It looks like that's how he's doing his workout since he can't go to the gym. But listen, Jay, I'm here for the quarantine prison workouts, okay? And if y'all don't know, head over to Jay's page and let him know. I think his Instagram is like JQSKIM. And let him know he is definitely this week's freak of the week. Whew, Chile. Listen, this need to motivate me to start doing my workout so I can get rid of this quarantine 15, trying to get to this new normal. Well, listen, Purple Pants Posse, this is going to wrap up this week's episode. I am honored that I can, you know, be a delight in your ear during these troublesome times. But listen, we go together. We're going to get through this together. Thank you so much for listening. And you can count on that I'll be back next week to have you guys covered. And you know what I'm about to say. What I'm about to say. It's a.
It's the Purple Pants. It's the Purple Pants. It's the Purple Pants Podcast. You better get your headphones and listen up quick. Ooh. It's the Purple Pants Podcast. You better listen in public. Might make your stomach hurt. Ooh. It's the Purple Pants Podcast. You trying to unwind. You better get that box wine. It's the Purple Pants Podcast. You trying to get your snack. You better hurry right back, though. It's the Purple Pants. Yeah, yeah. It's the Purple Pants.